Virginia Jeffrey Roberts saga is a gut punch expose of a world gone to hell, where the elite's depravity runs rampant and justice is a twisted joke. Virginia was a teen runaway, already scarred by abuse, working at Trump's Mar-a-Lago in 2000 when Epstein and Maxwell snatched her up. Virginia described it as being passed around like a platter of fruit to power players from 1999 to 2002. Escaping in 2002, she fled to Thailand, met an Aussie martial artist, married him in 10 days, and bolted to Australia, raising three kids far from Epstein's slime until 2013. Back in the U.S., then Australia again by 2020. She sued Maxwell, settling in 2017 and nailing Prince Andrew in 2021 with a photo of him groping her at 17. Andrew settled for $16 million in 2022. No guilt admitted, just blood money to bury it. And here is where the plot thickens. In 2020, attorney Gloria Allred arranged for a school bus to repeatedly drive past Buckingham Palace, displaying Prince Andrew's photo and a banner that read, "If you see this man, please ask him to call the FBI." Years later, Virginia, who had accused him, was hit by a school bus. Add to that, Lady Victoria Hervey, a former girlfriend of Prince Andrew, took to Instagram to label the severe accident of an Epstein victim as karma.
"I was so young. Keelan woke me up in the morning and said, 'You're going to meet a prince today.' I didn't know at that point that I was going to be trafficked to that prince. And then that night, Prince Andrew came to her house in London, and we went out to Club Tramp. Prince Andrew got me alcohol. It was in the VIP section. I'm pretty sure it was vodka. Prince Andrew was like, 'Let's dance together.' And I was like, 'Okay.' And we leave Club Tramp. And I hop in the car with Gielan and Jeffrey. And Gielan said he's coming back to the house. And I want you to do for him what you do for Epstein." I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that even royalty were involved.
Fast forward to March 2025 and Jeffrey's reportedly clinging to life Instagram posts on March 30th claim a school bus smashed her car at 68 miles per hour, leaving her in kidney failure, 4 days to live, doctors scrambling. Her spokesperson confirms a serious accident, but Western Australia police call it a minor crash on March 24th in Nyiragabi. No major injuries noted. A fender bender doesn't trash your kidneys unless something's rotten under the hood. Virginia's March 1st ex-post raged at a dog and pony show justice system, begging Trump and Musk to drain the swamp as PTSD eats her alive.
"And she went to the FBI's offices with her lawyer, Sam Pottinger, said she saw videos, cachet. She saw photos that she had to confirm were pictures of her, and they've never been released to the public, and she thought that at least that would be released."
And she wanted that to be released.
Yeah.
And why?
Because it's disappointing to them. They want this in the public domain. They want the Epstein story to be told. They feel like a lot of people are out there basically skirting justice, really powerful people who have been allowed to get away with spending time with a pedophile and molesting young women.
Then there's that hospital photo. Tank top, no gown, jewelry on, no IVs, bruises that don't scream high-speed wreck. She's lucid, posting captions, but the scene looks staged. Rural hospital quirks? A hit to silencer? The math ain't mathing, and the silence from officials stinks worse than Epstein's black book. This is a woman who stared down monsters. Epstein, Maxwell, the English royal family, only to end up in a crash that smells like a setup. Nyiragabi's a sleepy nowhere. School buses don't hit 68 miles per hour without red flags. Meanwhile, the elite's dirty war continues to ramp up. They've fled Trump's America, faces dripping with guilt, but the facade is toast. Jeffrey's fight exposed their underworld. Yet, for the time being, justice stays a privilege for the connected. Two tiers, one system, broken. Will Virginia's hospital bed be her last stand, or is she already gone? And who's next? Have the nervous elites overplayed their hand, or are they merely testing the waters?
The eighth coin
in the limited edition series is now exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the eighth in the series. Your past purchases have kept us on the air. There's only 4,000 of this coin. I designed all the others, but the crew said, hey, people keep asking for an Alex Jones coin. This is the first and probably the only one we'll ever do. InfoWars on the back. Myself, the American flag on the front with my signature. It is vital to keep us on the air. Plus, this is an amazing coin. All the other in the last seven, the last few years we put out. You look at them online, they're selling for way more than we printed them up. But I'm not even pushing it as a collectible coin. It is a fundraiser to keep us on the air. We absolutely need the funds. It is historic, and it costs us about $40 for each coin for the silver and for having it printed or minted in Missouri. And you can get it for $99 if you're not a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com, for $70-something if you are. People love the coins. It keeps us on air. It's a fundraiser.
It's Wednesday, April 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The American Journal. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. Harrison Smith will be hosting the War Room this afternoon, so don't worry. You're still going to get your Harrison for the day. Apparently, Owen Schroyer booked his dental appointment for the War Room. So everybody's moving their schedules around, which is fine because it forces me to get out of bed in the morning and just look at all the asinine, crazy news that is going on in the world. Namely, the first thing that came across the desk this morning is the fact that scientists advocate creating human bodies for spare parts. And it immediately strikes me as something incredibly interesting because this is something that Alex Jones has been talking about for many years. What are they called? The human-animal hybrid chimeras? Where when you experiment genetically with merging human DNA with animal DNA, then you're entering into a legal gray zone, not to be confused with the tall grays or the reptilians that the David Icke's of the world would like to talk about. But you're entering into a legal gray area where it's not really human and it's not really an animal, and so there's not really any regulation around it. So let's just take as much human DNA as possible and let's try to merge it just a little bit. Let's just throw a little pig in there, maybe a little bat in there, maybe a little reptile in there. Manipulate the DNA.
You wouldn't want a soulless clone?
What's that?
You wouldn't want a soulless clone?
No, I don't think I want a soulless clone.
A doppelganger?
You know, if there was more than one of me around, I'm pretty sure that the world would have ended by now, but maybe not. It's funny that you mention that, because I watched Parent Trap with my daughters for the first time yesterday, and it's nostalgic when you watch that movie, the Lindsay Lohan one, not the one from the 60s, because, you know, it's charming that there's actually only one of her, and they made it look like she was a twin, but then you think about all the terrible things that Lindsay Lohan has gone through. And we were watching this Bound report for the first 5 minutes of the show today, talking about the terrible things that Virginia Woolf went through. I don't know for sure, but I've heard rumblings that Lindsay Lohan might have gone through some similar things. And it all ties into the same story, actually, despite the fact that the sex trafficking thing and the human body parts thing might seem disconnected. They're actually intimately connected because it all deals with human trafficking. It all deals with a lack of belief in the sanctity of human life and the value of human life and the objectification of the human body for the sake of some soulless, godless end. And I don't like coming up here and preaching. I know that sometimes it tends to happen. I don't see myself as a televangelist. I just see myself as an average Christian struggling to be good at it. But the fact of the matter is, we're dealing with an entire zeitgeist, an entire cultural movement that doesn't believe in the sanctity of natural-born human beings and instead believes in making themselves gods among us. And the irony, of course, being I spoke with Raig Nationalist on Sunday night. We're frantically, quickly, rapidly, imminently arriving at a place where the estimated sperm count for a man is a median of zero by 2050, some estimates. Now, I don't want to fall into the trap of Al Gore and make these outrageous, erroneous claims as to what's happening in what's going to happen in the future. But if you've ever seen the movie Children of Men, it's not going to look pretty when people stop being able to have children. As it stands right now, according to the statistics that I see, 10% of men are sleeping with 90% of all women. Did you know that? Because people don't get married when they're young anymore. They get married much later if they get married at all. Everyone's on birth control. No one's having any children. And then we've raised an entire generation of low testosterone beta males. And so the 10% of men who are actually men are getting 90% of women. And then the other 90% of men are just kind of left out. And when we arrive at a place where no one is able to have any children whatsoever, and suddenly it's very obvious that there's no future for humanity, then we're left wondering what happened. Was it environmental factors? Was it microplastics in the food? We're going to see violence escalate, but why is it that the left continuously talks about how the environment is the most important thing? And now they've gone from just trying to protect the environment to straight up saying that we need to sacrifice human beings for the sake of the environment. Remember, it used to be the case that you would want to protect the environment so that we had a nice place to live. And now they've just totally nixed, eradicated the notion of human beings living anywhere at all. And they just want a nice planet that's totally uninhabited. I was talking with Alex and Rob Dew about this the other day, how just little things that you notice, the bugs seem to be totally gone. In different places of Texas that were just littered with ladybugs, littered with bugs this time of the year. You had to put shields on your car when you drove through rural areas. And this was true in Illinois where I grew up too. I remember what it felt like going 80 miles an hour down a country road and hearing pop, 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 pop. The bugs on the windshield and the bumper. And that's all gone. I thought, could it be the pesticides? No, they've kind of actually reduced a lot of the pesticides that they use. Minus the atrazine, which is in the water, again, eliminating the fertility of human beings. And so I see this advocacy happening right now that we create human bodies from spare parts. And it's this idea that we would sacrifice the future of humanity, that we would sacrifice our children, that we would sell out to the nature worship, the idol worship of our nature. For the sake of what? And it's the Sam Altmans and the Mark Zuckerbergs and the others. And I don't believe for a minute Mark Zuckerberg has actually switched teams. He acts like he loves Trump so much, but I mean, that psychopath. I showed you the clip, I think, on this very show of him talking about hunting with a bow and arrow. In fact, if you guys can find the clip of Mark Zuckerberg talking about bow hunting with Joe Rogan, anybody who watches that, doesn't matter how smart you are, as long as you have some semblance of a soul, you understand that there's something deeply wrong with Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, for years, he was showing up to congressional hearings looking like Data from Star Trek Next Generation, sipping water like a maniac, responding, "Yes, Senator, thank you, Senator," with those cold, dead eyes. There's even a home video of him when he heard the news that he got into Harvard. His dad walks into his room with the camcorder of 2001 or some year like that. And he's just sitting there refreshing his email inbox. His dad's like, "Did you get in? Did you get in?" Like, "I got in. I got in." Then, of course, he goes to Harvard, drops out of Harvard because of Facebook. And ever since then, has been part of a billionaire technocracy trying to figure out how to live forever while sacrificing all of humanity to whatever is conducive to their own business and political gain. And I have no problem with people having political ambitions or having business ambitions. But when you're willing to sacrifice all of your principles for the sake of protecting your own interests in that way, well, that's just the epitome of a lack of integrity, isn't it? I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with building a social media platform and becoming a billionaire. Does this have sound? Okay, let's get this with sound here. This video is wild to watch. It's on the screen right now. There's nothing wrong with being abundantly successful, but when you sacrifice your values, principles, or goodness in order to accomplish that, then there's the problem. This is the problem with leftism and communism and Marxism, whatever you want to call it. It believes that all of the world's problems exist just because someone else is rich. They think that the reason they're poor is because there are billionaires. And it's not really the billionaire class that's the problem. I think there's about 1,000 billionaires in the United States or the world. I can't remember which metric it is. Maybe there's 1,400 now. With inflation, it'll go up. But it's the political class of multimillionaires that's the problem. And it's not the fact that they're multimillionaires that's the problem. It's the way that they made their multimillion dollars through selling out the interests of their own constituents the world over for the sake of their own political gain. The Nancy Pelosi's, the Mitch McConnell's, the Dan Crenshaw's. And I know that psychotic cuck, Dan Crenshaw, will talk about how his net worth is one of the lowest ones in Congress. And he'll gripe about the fact that he hasn't had a raise since 2009. That guy would last in InfoWars about 3 days. While he's constantly threatening journalists, you know, it's funny. We saw this Jasmine Crockett incident where she assaulted a Laura Loomer journalist. And what she did was inappropriate. Smacking the camera and shoving the journalist. We saw it this week. It was viral last week. Exactly the same behavior that we've seen from Dan Crenshaw over the years, where he's trying to trip journalists, where he's snapping on little girls who ask him questions about his faith, reasonable questions for idealistic young preteens or teenagers, and he just snaps on. I mean, the guy is absolutely a psychopath. I saw Ty Lopez do a video the other day. I love Navy SEALs. I love Jocko Willink. I love Sean Johnson. I know Navy SEALs who are extraordinary people, but it is the highest likelihood of sociopathy or psychopathy among any career path that exists in the whole world, whether it's politicians, whether it's entrepreneurs, the highest ones. People literally without a conscience, you can measure it with an MRI. You can see, oh, they don't have the part of the brain that has your conscience in it. Highest rating among surgeons or dentists are high because people who cut people, less likely to be disturbed by cutting somebody open, surgeries, things like that. More prevalence of sociopathy there. And then Navy SEALs. Because you got to be a lunatic to be able to make it through the BUDS training, to be able to make it into these intense combat situations, to be able to do multiple tours without a tremendous amount of PTSD, without breaking down. And Dan Crenshaw is a perfect example of somebody who is 100% totally a sociopath, lunatic, nuts, evil bastard. I mean, even when I look at him, I feel sick. And I'm somebody who is so conservative that I think the Republicans are leftists. I'm not criticizing him like some Cenk Uygur or some fag like David Pakman or Harry Sisson or Chris Mowry, where I'm going up there, you know what the problem with the Republicans? I'm not doing that. No. I don't have a problem with him because he's a Republican. I have a problem with him because he's an evil bastard who complains about the fact that he's not able to skim enough from the American people when Congress has record low popularity in its history, like less than 5% popularity. Maybe it teeters around 5 or 6%. And this guy is complaining that his income isn't enough. Well, he sits pretty in Washington, D.C., could get any book deal that he wants. He's got no problem totally neglecting his fellow Navy SEALs when they're erroneously in prison for war crimes that they didn't commit. He's just dodging the question time and time again, trying to act tough, going out and making videos of himself exercising on some ranch. I mean, it's just totally bizarre. And you remember, we were all so excited about Dan Crenshaw when he came out with that absolutely awesome promo video for his campaign where he's jumping out of the plane and teamed up with some of the other Republicans all over the country that were running for Congress. We thought, oh, this is so cool. Now I go back and watch that and I go, oh, that's macabre. That is just so bizarre. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if myopic Dan was totally for the fact that some scientists are advocating creating human body parts, spare parts. I bet he'd love to have a little Asian kid's eye just bouncing around in there so he could finally take the patch off and say, I finally see the light. In the 2005 sci-fi thriller The Island, Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor discover that they are clones, created as an insurance policy for wealthy people who might need them for spare parts. Now scientists at Stanford are proposing that we make this dystopian fiction a reality. On March 25th, 2025, Karsten T. Charlesworth, that sounds like a supervillain, Henry T. Greeley, that sounds like his homosexual partner, and Hiromitsu Nakachi wrote in MIT Technology Review. Recent advances in biotechnology now provide a pathway to producing living human bodies without the neural components that allow us to think, be aware, or feel pain. We will render a consciousless body a sleeve just waiting in a shrink-wrapped sack on ice for generations. So when you need a new heart, well, you can just have a new one of your own heart. When you need a new kidney, no problem. We've got a spare one of your kidneys frozen at 34 years of age, just perfect for your 54-year-old body. You need a liver, no problem. We actually have a spare of your very own liver. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the series Altered Carbon or read the books that the series is based off, Altered Carbon. I mean, it's an amazing Netflix series. Second season sucks. It went woke. First season's actually honest to the books. Outstanding science fiction. I mean, if you want to understand the human condition and the propensity for evil among our political class and the so-called elite, you have to watch Altered Carbon. You see, the show takes place hundreds of years in the future after human beings have figured out how to clone their consciousness and then put it in any other cloned body called sleeves. They don't even call them bodies. See, they dehumanize them more. They could just call them sleeves. And I could take my consciousness out of the back of my neck. I could put it in any of the crew's body. We could swap them all around. They can do this technology. They can use this method to live forever. And so inevitably what happens is you have an entire class of people, a political class that has been living for hundreds of years and slowly accrued all of the wealth over time. Similar to what some have accused of certain sects here in the world now, the banking class, the political class, that over generation after generation after generation, and ever since Dracula all the way to King Charles, has generated an asinine amount of wealth. Well, this is what happens in 2384, or whatever year this show takes place. You have this elite group of people that have figured out how to afford to back up their consciousness to the cloud. They figured out how to clone bodies and then live forever. And as a result of this, they have accrued all of the political and monetary economic power in the entire planet. And they run the whole show while people suffer on the surface. And our scientists right now are advocating for the same exact technology that has resulted in plots of the movies like Children of Men, movies like Altered Carbon, movies like the sci-fi thriller The Island with Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor. And these dystopian worlds are created by the low-T, beta male sociopaths, Mark Zuckerberg. Let's watch this clip that you guys got ready. Here he is just typing away. Nice jammies.
All right, so you want me to open this?
I don't know.
Does that sound like it? I think it is.
What does it say?
Wait, yeah, put it away for a second.
I can't see it.
Oh, man. Yay.
What?
I got accepted.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right! Yes! Great. Okay, we are now focusing on the newest, or one of the newest members of Harvard's class of 2006.
One of the newest members
and
of Harvard's class of 2006.
To one of the newest members of the class.
Who's
going to
go
Harvard
there and
2006.
Conspire to create a technocratic future and totally censor everybody and follow all, I mean, and look, he looks like a sweet little dorky kid there, and his dad's so proud, and there's a cute little dog. I get it. It's a charming and endearing thing, and it's so amazing how we went from bunk bed to billionaire in a course of like 4 years. It's inspiring. It's almost like it's the American dream. But then you realize everything that he did in the way the Hunter Biden laptop and the massive censorship and the Russian collusion hoax and the lies and the obeying of the CIA. And you're like, whoa, is there something wrong with him, or was he just being pushed around? And then you see him prove to the entire world that he's a sociopath in a simple conversation with Joe Rogan about bow hunting. Let's watch.
Which is another reason why things have become sort of emasculated, because that energy is not necessary anymore to acquire meat. You know, that used to be the only way that people got meat. You had to go hunt it. So you had to go actually pull the trigger, kill the animal yourself, cut it up, butcher it, cook it. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Although my favorite is bow and arrow.
I prefer it. Because it requires more of you.
But yeah, another...
What kind of bow do you have?
Gosh.
I didn't get to do it this season, but
do you know the company that makes it?
Not off the top of my head.
I mean, you have to know.
Yeah, no, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing.
I can get you hooked up.
Yeah, it works.
Okay. Do you know how old it is?
No, it's not old.
Okay.
I think it's like just a compound bow that I got strung to my draw length. And
did you get someone to coach you?
Yeah.
Who coached you?
It's basically a bunch of the guys who you know, help run security around the ranch.
Okay.
Just a bunch of the guys. So he's unable to just admit what happened. He did what billionaires do. He went bow hunting and he paid a bunch of people for like one day so he could have the experience. But he didn't do any of the things that initiated him. And there's actually more to that clip. There's a longer version of it where he dodges the question even more. He talks about how he prefers the rifle to the bow just because it's more efficient. And then you can tell that Joe's like getting into the weeds. This guy's like probably only been bow hunting one time, and he's just acting like he likes bow hunting, or he prefers bow hunting, or bow hunting is something that he just loves to experience in order to kind of falsely ingratiate himself to Joe Rogan here. Because the guy's a sociopath, and it's okay. He can't help it. I understand. But if we sell out to this technocratic class, they're going to run us right over. They say that the average IQ in the United States is 100. That means that half the people that you interact with have a below average IQ. And if you look at the details of the type of questions that you have to get wrong in order to score 100 or lower, it is shocking how retarded half of the population is. Now, I'm no genius. I'm a smart guy. I'm no genius. My IQ is well over 100. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Not a genius, but it's up there. And I'm telling you that the Zuckerbergs, the people that have IQ dozens of levels above mine, the Elon Musk, Zuckerbergs, even the Bill Gateses, they will run over average people if they are not put in check. So if we are not born with the benefit of extremely high IQs, then we should at least cultivate the character of some semblance of wisdom, because you can be wise and retarded. That's the whole premise of Forrest Gump. The whole movie Forrest Gump is sub-85 IQ, perfect character, strong values, American dream accomplished. Goes into Vietnam, comes back a war hero. Invests in Apple, comes back super wealthy. Starts a small business. Has a child with the love of his life. She took advantage of him, but he's able to take care of his home back home. Runs across the country, inspires a nation. I mean, that's the whole premise of Forrest Gump, is it doesn't matter how smart you are, it just matters how good you are. And if good people sit back and don't get involved, then we're going to have a whole technocratic class of people like Mark Zuckerberg, who probably aren't even aware that they don't have a conscience, cloning our body parts, harvesting them from unconscious versions that resemble us exactly, and then eradicating our sperm count so we can't have any children. So 20, 30 years from now, my daughters, who will be adults of the age to have children, won't be able to naturally have children because no guy's going to have any sperm in his balls, are going to have to resort to these mega labs in order to produce the future of this population. And it's all going to be controlled by the government, folks. So grow a pair of balls. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com, get the big balls hat, and get the Shilajit. Your wife's going to love it, even if you're the only one taking it. Stay tuned for more news on the other end.
Methylene blue is all the rage. But for my listeners, we've been talking about it for decades. But finally, they've got factories. They've got laboratories that are producing medical, pharmaceutical, USP grade. And so, our sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, has it right now. The very highest quality. And I've taken USP grade before, and they claim it's USP grade, and it works great. Massive energy, clarity, focus, no letdown. This is 10 times better. I'm actually scared of this. I've seen Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, take 3 droppers on Air Force One. I took half a dropper, and I'm bouncing off the walls hours later. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the very best methylene blue I've ever had at the lowest price, and it funds the InfoWar, a total 360 win. So get your ultra, and it is ultra, methylene blue right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top supernutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest 95% curcuminoid with a bunch of other concentrated supernutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby. The Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible supernutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed even under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. Harrison Smith will be hosting the War Room this afternoon, starting at 3 p.m. Central until 6 p.m. Central. And don't forget, the Alex Jones Show begins at 11 a.m. Central. We will be joined at 2 p.m. Central by Lauren Boebert, leaving these JFK hearings. Now, there was this clip that was going viral yesterday. It's about 9 minutes. I'm going to show you some of it, not all of it. Of Oliver Stone, JFK director Stone calls for new probe in hearing on president's death. Oscar-winning director Oliver Stone, whose 1991 film JFK portrayed President John F. Kennedy's assassination as the work of a shadowy government conspiracy, called Tuesday for a new congressional investigation of the killing during a hearing that aired conspiracy theories about it. Where do I even begin with JFK? He was assassinated by the CIA, by order of LBJ, for a litany of reasons, namely because JFK was determined to be an existential threat to the CIA.
And I know there's a lot of people that like to point the finger at Israel as being responsible for all of our problems, despite the fact that we've had problems for 300 years and Israel's only existed since 1948. And I know that for some reason, these 9 million people in Israel are deemed to be responsible for everything bad that's ever happened in the entire world. And Mossad is considered to be the most profoundly influential intelligence agency in the world. The fact of the matter is the CIA is the real terrorist organization here. And the only reason that Israel exists is because we fund them half of their defense budget, at least over the course of the last several years. And so I don't think so much it's Mossad pulling strings here in the United States. I actually think it's the CIA using Mossad to pull strings here in the United States. You know how the intelligence community hires the mob here in the United States to commit the crimes that it cannot commit itself? Does the same thing with foreign intelligence agencies. It weaponizes and controls them. Oh, you want funding this year? Well, then you're going to spy on our politicians and you're going to give us all the information, all the blackmail that we need. And if you stop playing ball, then we're going to do things like arrest your agents and make it look like they hang themselves in their prison cells. That's what we're going to do. So the CIA has been the largest, most sophisticated, most influential, most powerful terrorist organization basically since its inception decades and decades ago. And it's resulted in things like regime changes in countries like Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or Libya or South America. I mean, basically every war crime you can possibly imagine has been conducted by our own CIA. But for some reason, we try to find ways to blame a small country the size of Rhode Island. Look, I'm no fan of Israel. I think what they're doing is a genocide. I'm not celebrating Israel. I don't celebrate the Palestinians either. See, the problem with looking at this honestly is you don't make any friends telling the truth. You don't make any friends saying that you don't support either country. You don't make any friends saying that you don't give a damn about Russia or Ukraine. Because all the people that love Ukraine so much will say that you're a Russian shill. And all the people who are Russian shills will say that you're a Ukrainian shill. And when you don't support Israel, they say, well, you must love the terrorists in Palestine. And when you bash the fact that 40% of marriages in Palestine are between first and second cousins, the average IQ is well below 85, and recessive genetic disorders in London, 30% of them all come from the Muslim population, which is about 10% of the population. Then they say you're Islamophobic. The fact of the matter is, we created here in the United States a central intelligence agency that has been responsible for downfall after downfall, conflict after conflict, terrorist attack after terrorist attack, either sponsoring it directly or allowing it to happen. They've even sponsored the invasion of our own country by over 20 million people over the course of the last 4 years for the sake of replacement migration, because our population isn't having children for a litany of reasons. The main reason being inflation is so high, so you can't afford to start a family, so both people have to have a career, the mother and the father have to have a career, and if they want to focus on their careers for the first 10 years of their adult life, or their 20s, then they're not focusing on building a family, and so by the time they want to get married and have kids, they're in their 30s, then they struggle to do it because they're a little bit older and sperm counts are so low, so they have to do the IVF, but only so many people can afford to spend $30,000 or $50,000 a shot. And as a result of that, you wind up with a birth rate of 1.7 when we know that it's got to be at least 2.1, preferably 2.3, in order for a civilization to sustain itself. And there's only been about a half a dozen instances throughout history when a population has declined for an extended period of time and been able to successfully bounce back without total collapse. One of those examples is the several instances of the Black Plague sweeping through Europe. Sometimes when there's a disaster, like the Black Plague, it wipes out the population, but there's no cultural change. So when the plague goes away, they start having kids again. We've seen the same thing happen after World War I or World War II. A lot of men get wiped out. Tens of millions of people get wiped out. But there's not really a cultural change, so they can kind of bounce back a little bit. But the problem here is this inflation plague that we are facing right now as a nation, frankly, as a species on the planet, because since the dollar is the global reserve currency, when we inflate, the whole world inflates. It's all BS. It's so insidious. It's so perpetual that nobody is having children. I mean, I'm looking into the control room right now, and I think there's one guy in there out of the five with kids. We're all in our 30s. And it's because it's too damn expensive to have kids. You wait forever to get married, and then you have fewer kids. My parents, born in 1949, had their first kid the year they were married. They got married and then got pregnant with my oldest brother. He's 17 years older than me. He's Alex Jones' age. 23 years old. And they had kid after kid after kid. I've got three older brothers. And that was considered small potatoes back then. I got married. I was 29 or 30 when I got married. I met my wife 10 years ago. We dated forever before we got married. Should have gotten married right away. Should have started having kids right away. We're going to have two kids and that's it. I can't afford to have any more kids. My wife had to have two C-sections, and so it's dangerous for us to have more kids. We're done. I would have loved to have 15 kids like Elon Musk, but we're not all blessed with the resources to be able to afford to do that. And so as a result of this, you have decades upon decades upon decades that go by where your Western civilization, your established culture, your Native Americans, and anybody born here is a Native American. I know we like to say that only the Indians are truly Native. No, no, if you're born here, you're Native. Native Americans are not having enough children to replace their existing population, to replace their existing culture. And so what the political class has decided to do is just import millions upon millions of people into the country. You realize for the first time since like 1856, we had more people come into the country than born in the country in the United States a couple of years ago. It was either last year or year before that. For the first time since the first like renaissance of America, when people were coming over on ship after ship after ship and having children after children after children, because back then, if you didn't have kids, you were dead. 19th century, you had to have children to work the land that you owned. And your children would die from things like measles, mumps, rubella, all the things that they vaccinate your kid to be autistic for now. I mean, they're not dying of measles, mumps, and rubella anymore, but now they're all retarded. But for the first time since like 1856 or some year like that, we imported more people into the United States than were born here in the United States. It's absolutely insane, the replacement migration that we see coming on. And frankly, I don't really have a problem with Mexicans coming into the United States because they still represent Western civilization. People talk about cultural appropriation so much and how inappropriate it is for people in the United States to steal from Mexican culture. Have you seen the stories from years past about how different taco stands operated by white people were totally shut down because they were stealing the recipes of people in Mexico City? And how offensive it is for any white person to have things like dreads.
You want to know the craziest thing is that it's typically white people calling other white people out on that. I've seen dozens of those like taco store protests. Right, those taco restaurants where they, and it's always like some white chick with bell bottoms and like a bad haircut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Screaming at the patriarchy.
It's never some Mexican like, that is my mother's recipe. It's always some white chick with purple hair.
Yeah, it's never a Mexican dude.
Well, like, this is viral video that was going around. I saw this guy dressed up in like the most offensive Mexican garb with the giant sombrero and what's the tunic thing called? And he was going up to Mexicans. He's like, how do you like my outfit? And they're all saying, we like it. Then he was going up to white people and saying, how do you like my outfit? And they were saying it was offensive. Do you remember that clip going around like a year ago?
Yeah, he was wearing a poncho.
Poncho, thank you. Word escaped me for a second. But the point that I'm trying to make here is people don't realize that Mexicans speak Spanish, which is a European language. So you're being accused of cultural appropriation of an entire peoples who speak a language of a European peoples. It's like full circle gone all the way around. I mean, they don't even speak their own language anymore. There's not a lot of them speaking Mayan. They might know a few words here or there. If you tour Mayan temples in Mexico, your tour guide might be somebody directly descended from the Mayans who admits that the language is a dead language, but they know certain phrases and words still, kind of like Gaelic. When the English just eradicated the Gaelic language from Ireland, they paid the Irish to not teach their kids about Irish heritage, Irish culture. There's a funny video, maybe we can find it, of What's-Her-Face, the famous Irish singer who died recently, Sinead O'Connor, doing like kind of a funny rap about, let me tell you about Ireland. And she goes through the history of what happened with Ireland and the potato famine and how that culture was totally eradicated. I mean, it was like something from Braveheart with Longshanks when he says, the trouble with Scotland is that it's full of Scots. We shall reinstitute an ancient custom, prima nocta. Where on the first night of a marriage, a noble gets to sleep with every wife in Scotland and ensure that the bastard child is half English. And through this practice, we'll eradicate the Scots from Scotland. That was the strategy. The English did it time and time again. They did similar things with Ireland. And now we have this bizarre thing happening here in the United States of America where the leftists, in the name of diversity, have thrown out the notion of the melting pot. And I was on a X-Space nights ago when someone was like, oh, the melting pot is a Jewish conspiracy. And it's like, shut the hell up. Because the difference between diversity, equity, and inclusion and the melting pot is that in a melting pot, the cultures melt. You're supposed to have cultural appropriation. White people are supposed to like hip-hop. Black people are supposed to like rock and roll. We're supposed to share cuisine. We're supposed to have a similar language. We're supposed to have similar values and religion because we live together and we melt together. But when you just have diversity, equity, and inclusion, you just introduce an entirely new culture like what they've done in England and London. And you allow no crossing over, no blending, no bleeding in, no best of both worlds merging. You just have these two incompatible cultures shoved into a city together, forced to live together. And now you've got a situation like in London where every major city's mayor is a Muslim, despite the fact that like 10% of the population is Muslim. And the white people are too scared to say anything about it because whenever they complain about the migration issue, they get arrested by local police. I mean, you can be arrested in the United Kingdom just because the police have interpreted something that you said on social media to be potentially offensive to someone else. No one even has to complain that they were offended. No one even has to report that they were offended. If the police determine you have posted something that could be potentially offensive to someone else, then they can arrest you. And we've seen the viral clips of the judges saying, oh, the things that you said have been atrocious about the migrants. Totally and utterly bigoted. I sentence you to 10 years in prison. I mean, it's like something you would see from North Korea with Otto Warmbier. Where he's begging for mercy in this rehearsed sketch on television, blasted out to the world so we can all be just totally terrified. Then they sentence him to 10 years of hard labor because he stole a picture of a fat guy on a wall. They say he's got botulism, but we know he was tortured to hell, lost his mind, and died. All under the Obama administration, mind you. It's not a coincidence that in the Obama administration, we had the Benghazi incident happen. We have Otto Warmbier kidnapped by the commies in North Korea. There's no effort to get him back. Joe Biden's the vice president of the United States. No effort to get him back. 4 years goes by. Nothing of the sort happens. Then Joe Biden becomes president of the United States. And he allows astronauts to just remain in orbit for 9 months, not allowing Elon Musk to send SpaceX up to save the astronauts. I mean, it was a culture of leaving Americans behind. And they do so both literally and figuratively, because right now what we've seen from the left is a campaign, sophisticated in nature, from our movies in Hollywood, from what we see and read in the news, from what we hear from our politicians, totally determined to eradicate all of the values and cultural practices of Western civilization. Because Western values are a threat to the political class's subjugation and conglomeration of political power. You understand that Western culture, Western civilization is something that can be adopted by anyone regardless of their immutable characteristics. You can be Jewish, come to America, and be truly American in your heart. You can be black, come to America, and be truly American in your heart. You can be Pakistani, Arab, Persian, Asian, Russian, any sort of immutable characteristic. You can be, come to America, learn English, adopt American values, start a business, whatever, send your kids to school, whatever, and then boom, you're a Western person, regardless of what your heritage is, what your background is. I mean, my name's Geiser. My family escaped Hamburg, Germany in 1526, Ulrich Geiser, during the Reformation, went to Switzerland, lived in Switzerland for 400 years, came to the United States in 1893, and we're American. My great-grandfather fought in World War I. My grandfather fought in World War II. My dad did not fight in Vietnam, but was drafted during Vietnam. Fortunately, he played the trombone, so he was in like the Army Reserve Marching Band. So whenever whoever the governor wanted a parade, that was what he had to do during Vietnam. Very lucky that he was good at the trombone. Bizarre way to get out of the war, but he did. My point is, I'm American, I'm not German, I'm not Swiss. Because my family came over here, we assimilated, we adopted the values. I know like no German phrases. 150 years ago, everybody related me was speaking German. I know hardly any German phrases except 99999. That's about it for me. But what they've done, what the left has done and the political class has done, is it has attacked Western civilization, and it has successfully married the notion of whiteness to Western values. It's an error. It's a lie. It's the big lie of our generation, where they have somehow made people subconsciously believe that you cannot be Western unless you're white, and if you're white, you're inherently Western. And so that they marry the racial privilege of whiteness to things like beliefs in freedom of speech, right to bear arms, national sovereignty, private property rights, capitalism, all these things that are anti-Marxism. They marry to whiteness, and then they ascribe every ill to the privilege of white people, who are the slavers, who are the warmongers, who are the billionaire class. And so that everyone else just hates white people, but they're not really trying to bring down white people, folks. They're trying to bring down Western civilization. These are all these people attacking white people are white. It's the Elizabeth Warrens. It's the Nancy Pelosi's. It's the AOC's. You could say she's Hispanic, but she's white adjacent, to use one of their terms. I mean, she's practically the whitest girl I know, despite the fact that she could eat an apple through a picket fence. And so what we're seeing here plays out everywhere. Not just in the migration policy with the replacement migration, not just in the inflation policy, which is basically the redistribution of wealth, not to the poor so much as to the political class. But we see it in our culture as well. Look what they did with Snow White. I don't want to beat a dead horse with Snow White. But they took a classic European story. Well, it's a Grimm's fairy tale, right? It's an old school like German story, Snow White, with skin as white as snow, and they cast a person of color. No problem with a person of color being in a movie, but why would you put a person of color in a role like that? I mean, it's like if I were to remake 12 Years a Slave and cast all the black people as white people and all the white people as black people in the name of diversity. It's still a great story. It like, doesn't make sense, historically speaking. Like, why don't you just make a new fairy tale story and then cast the person of color that you want instead of taking the European one and then just bastardizing it and butchering it? And they didn't just cast somebody of color to play Snow White. That's not even the most offensive part. They totally changed the story. So she's like unconscious from the apple, and the whole movie supposedly is this dream that she's having, and the prince isn't even really her savior. It's supposed to be the prince that's the savior because it's traditional patriarchal values. The actress, whatever the hell her name is, I probably won't even ever see her again, in interviews saying, look, in the original, it's obvious that it was a 1936 movie. It's very dated because basically a stalker is just following Snow White around the whole time. First of all, honey, the story's not from 1936. It's like hundreds of years old. So you're eradicating our culture in the name of your own vain values to make a piece of trash art. And like I said, I'm not trying to sound bigoted here. I don't care that people of color are in movies, whatever. But Gal Gadot is way hotter than Snow White. And I'm pretty sure that in that movie, the whole premise is that Snow White is slightly hotter than the queen. And that's why the queen is so bitter, because she's no longer the fairest one of all. Gal Gadot is like 10 times hotter than that woman. And that woman's hot. I've seen photos of her. She looks great. She doesn't look like Snow White. Her eyes are a little bit far apart. But she's definitely an attractive woman. I mean, that's definitely like Wood status. When I was in college, I definitely would have been like into that girl. I'm not trying to be somebody who's just like vain and just, you know, throwing low punches. The problem isn't that she's not hot enough. The problem is that she's playing a character that's not her at all. They've changed the entire plot line to undermine the Western values behind the original thing. They've eradicated the nuclear family, and she's complaining about us for not going to spend money to see the piece of trash. They did the same thing with Lady and the Tramp and Dumbo. Last time, my daughter, she's 4 years old. She's like, I want to watch Lady and the Tramp. I said, which one? Do you want to watch the cartoon version or the one with the real people? Now, the one with the real people, they took out the song with the Siamese cats because they thought it was offensive to Siamese people. They changed one of the dogs from a male to a female for no reason whatsoever, Scotty. My daughter, 4 years old, she doesn't know about any of this stuff. Because I want to watch the cartoon one. Is she bigoted? No, it's just better. It's just more honest. And again, I don't want to get distracted talking about Disney movies and how they screwed up Star Wars. I mean, don't even get me started on this. It's a whole entire system designed to eradicate Western values and marry Western values to whiteness so that when they wipe out white people through replacement migration, inflation, low testosterone, low sperm counts, nobody bats an eye. They're trying to commit a long-term genocide through policy rather than through violence to just eradicate an entire value system and gene pool away because it's incompatible with globalism, and their whole objective is the conglomeration of all political power into one new world order single government through things like central bank digital currencies. I mean, there's a reason that Mark Carney was appointed the Prime Minister of Canada with 86% support and 150,000 votes in Canada, right in the context of this trade war happening between the United States and Canada and Greenland, Gulf of Mexico, and all this stuff going on. They are trying to wage economic war on us. They are trying to wage cultural war on us. More people have invaded the United States illegally in the last 4 years than have invaded Ukraine in terms of Russians in this conflict. And nobody is batting an eye because if you say anything about it, well, it's racist. And in the UK, if you say anything about it, well, you're going to prison. But as soon as you say something about Islam, it's because you're so bigoted and Islamophobic. And I'm thinking to myself, if there's an entire religion that worships a giant black cube at Mecca, celebrates a pedophile to the extent that they won't even draw a picture of him, and advocates for 40% of marriages to be between first and second cousins, resulting in just the degradation of an entire gene pool, that catalyzes, causes, enforces, and endorses the abuse of young prepubescent boys because it's a sin to have sex with a woman out of wedlock, and if you have sex with a man, that's homosexual, but if you bang a prepubescent boy, there's no problem with that whatsoever. And I'm thinking maybe Islamophobia is the righteous approach here because these cultures haven't accomplished anything since they invented chess or since the Zoroastrians discovered astrology. And yes, technically, algebra, based on Zoroastrian mathematics, was created during the golden age of Islam, but that was in the first 100 years before it had been dozens of generations of inbreeding. I guarantee you, as a matter of fact, that all of the problems with Islam would go away if they just stopped having children with their cousins. It doesn't turn out well for anybody. There's even a culture, I think, in Greenland or Iceland, I can't remember which it is, where if you have a guest in your home, the husband leaves for the night and allows the guest to sleep with their wife. I'm not advocating for this. But because they realized that inbreeding was such a problem in these rural communities, that anytime a different guy came around, they're like, please sleep with my wife. I don't want my kids to be all screwed up and retarded. She's also my sister. There's only a dozen of us around here, and every year somebody dies because of the weather and the exposure. I mean, going back for hundreds of thousands of years, we have known as a people, it's not a good idea to inbreed. But now, Keir Starmer and in legislation that proposes making it illegal in the UK for people to marry their cousins is considered bigoted or Islamophobic. I mean, you're talking about the eradication of an entire civilization responsible for the accomplishment of great technological, theological, philosophical gains. It is asinine, folks, and it's why InfoWars needs your support more now than ever. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Get methylene blue. You'll feel like you're plugged into the wall. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason Alex Jones, this crew, these hosts will always be on the air.
I have been so hot and heavy on the news the last few weeks that I have not come up. Yesterday I didn't plug one time the whole show because I was just so focused and pissed off about what's going on because we're winning, but the fight is so dangerous. This is the most intense part right now. And so please go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the great atomic defense, the strongest, greatest, you know, concentrated of all the known herbs and compounds to boost your immune system. Everybody should be on, especially this time of year, for the limited edition Trump 2024 Battle for the Republic coin. On one side, on the other side, the commemorative inauguration. There's a limited amount of those. About as of this morning, 1/4 of them are gone. There'll be no more made after that. This funds the operation. So I want to thank all of you that have supported. I'll encourage those that haven't gone to thealexjonesstore.com to take action now. The supplements are the best. You're going to find anywhere. Become a VIP member for $30 a month. Cancel any time. Get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special sales, special discounts, special offers, and products only to members. Thealexjonesstore.com.
Here's where all eyes now are on gold and silver, because gold went over $3,000 an ounce. It's at an all-time high. That's a very strong technical and psychological threshold number, that 3,000. So now that the world is looking at gold, the world is also going to be looking at silver. So even the massive growth that we've already seen, I'm guessing it's just the beginning.
Gut level, where do you think gold is in a month?
3,100 in a month, like in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then I think it gets to 3,200 by the beginning of the summer. And we could literally see 4,000 as momentum starts to gather and as the eyes of the world get on it. And then silver, you know, probably 50 to 75.
People need to call you, do a free consultation, leave your name and number, 720-605-3900, kpm.com/gold. Do the form. They'll call you back. They'll do a free consultation. They can roll over your IRAs, 401ks. Do it now, folks. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much.
My pleasure. See ya.
It's good to be right, isn't it? Wow.
Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
They say the past is a foreign country, but in the UK, the present increasingly feels alien.
Part of the Eid celebrations next week, the BBC will be broadcasting the Eid al-Fitr prayers live for the first time ever from Bradford Mosque.
If only you knew how bad things really are.
We sent our Bradford New Voices Humaira Balm along to see the preparations.
We now cross live to our cultural affairs correspondent.
Fitr is a celebration that comes at the end of the month of Ramadan.
Surely Muslims know that already. So who is this aimed at?
This year, the Bradford Central Mosque are hosting something really special, and I'm here to find out more about it.
They let you in.
I'm meeting with the mosque's imam, who'll be leading the service on the day. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Welcome to the mosque.
What, no handshake?
How important is it to have these broadcasts happen here in Bradford?
We share this beautiful city.
If by beautiful city you mean the most dangerous city in Europe.
So this is the first ever time that kind of like religious prayer from a Muslim community happening inside a mosque, a big service like this, has ever happened on mainstream terrestrial broadcasting in the UK, and probably in the West for that matter as well.
Oh, the times we are changing.
And when it comes to the Muslim communities, for them it's a mark, it's a signal that Ramadan, Eid, etc., that is now a significant part of the UK calendar.
Judging by the BBC's wall-to-wall saturation coverage, not to mention the army, the royal family, the government, academia, the most significant, they really think they can socially engineer native Brits into deeply caring about Eid, when in reality most people just want the potholes fixed and their bins emptied. But given the amount of sheer trash generated by Eid celebrations, the bin men might be a bit busy this week. Noticing a common theme here.
Coventry. This is a third world country, bro. Deep it for a second. This is someone's front garden. I don't think recycling exists here because... What is this? I'm telling you, man, I'm convinced all the global warming is coming from this place, bro. Yay, look, more rubbish. If your girl ever calls you trash, just bring a Coventry, bro. She'll change her mind. There's no way that's the mosque.
The BBC will say it celebrates Eid out of respect for diversity and religious inclusivity. Strange, then, that a school in Hampshire scrapped its Easter celebrations entirely out of respect for diverse religious beliefs. Seems diversity has come to mean anyone except the native population. Seems inclusivity means deliberately excluding the majority. Oh, and the school's still planning to celebrate Refugee Week in June. This is the teacher who scrapped Easter for the sake of diversity in an area that's 89% white British and contains barely any ethnic minorities. Even if you manage to still live in a part of the country where it's almost non-existent, you and your kids will still feel the full force of diversity. Naturally, any rumblings of discontent towards the new way of things needs to be aggressively extinguished at its source. Toddlers who recognise the difference between men and women are now being kicked out of nurseries for transphobia.
A toddler was suspended from a nursery after they were accused of being transphobic. The child is either 3 or 4 years old. AD of E, a Department of Education spokesman, said all pupils and staff should feel safe.
Furness in the Lake District, which has a Muslim population of 0.4%, yet for some bizarre unknown reason is building a £2.5 million Islamic centre. Why? For who? The 11 Muslims who live there, which will be better attended, the Lake District Mosque or the Glasgow bagpipe lessons. The government is basing policy on tackling youth radicalisation and violence on a fictional Netflix TV show centred on a working class white teenage boy, while simultaneously importing youth radicalisation and violence, which in reality looks like this. Call the police. Sorry, all units are otherwise engaged. too busy showing up in force to a parent's front door to arrest them because they complained about their child's school in a WhatsApp group. But there's literally armed robbers on the loose and gangs attacking children in the same town. As I said, all units are otherwise engaged. The justice system itself openly designates minority groups as a protected class, who, even if they commit serious crimes, will be given lesser sentences than the real scourge on UK society, white British men.
Tuesday.
The eighth coin in the limited edition series is now exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the eighth in the series. Your past purchases have kept us on the air. There's only 4,000 of this coin. I designed all the others, but the crew said, hey, people keep asking for an Alex Jones coin. This is the first and probably the only one we'll ever do. InfoWars on the back. Myself, the American flag on the front with my signature. It is vital to keep us on the air. Plus, this is an amazing coin. All the other in the last seven, the last few years we put out. You look at them online, they're selling for way more than we printed them up. But I'm not even pushing it as a collectible coin. It is a fundraiser to keep us on the air. We absolutely need the funds. It is historic, and it costs us about $40 for each coin, for the silver and for having it printed or minted in Missouri. And you can get it for $99 if you're not a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com, for $70-something if you are. People love the coins. It keeps us on air. It's a fundraiser.
Chase Geiser navigates the American narrative in the American Journal.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the American Journal. I'm your host, Chase Geiser. Harrison Smith will be hosting the War Room this afternoon. And we're going to have an amazing Alex Jones broadcast today. I can just tell. I can feel it. Sometimes you wake up and there's something intuitively that speaks to you. I believe that today is going to be an astronomically incredible Alex Jones show. Lauren Boebert allegedly coming on at 2 o'clock Central today to break down what's happening in these JFK hearings. Look, we've been saying it for years. Everybody's been saying it for years. It was the CIA. And yes, Mossad was probably involved. And yes, the mafia was probably involved. But every new document that comes out points to CIA over and over again. And the crazy thing about it is the CIA has never been held accountable. And not just for this, but for virtually anything. From Bay of Pigs to MK Ultra to 9/11, to the assassination of JFK, to the assassination attempts of Donald J. Trump, to the Russian collusion hoax, to the weapons of mass destruction lie in Iraq. I mean, just think about the millions upon millions of people who have been unnecessarily killed because the CIA has never been held accountable. It is officially the unchecked fourth branch of government. I mean, our founding fathers could not have fathomed such a powerful institution existing. When they set up the Constitution, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they had no idea that one day there would be such sophisticated technology, such sophisticated intelligence, that it would become the greatest threat to national security in the United States of America. And we talk about threats of national security all the time. It's always used as an excuse to get us into war after war or conflict after conflict, to get us to pass legislation after legislation. From the Affordable Care Act to the Patriot Act and others. Always in the name of national security. The withholding of information is always done in the name of national security. Got to check those Epstein files in the name of national security. What does national security have to do with Epstein, Pam? And I'm not trying to bash Pam or Cash or any of these people. I understand that they're in completely complicated roles, and I expect these things to take time. I actually do honestly believe that we are going to get the majority of these Epstein files. There's always going to be something redacted, but I think that there's going to be justice brought to these people, many of them, most of them, certainly enough to make an example of them. I think we're going to get the JFK files all the way. I think that there's going to be a great uncovering, a great unraveling of the crimes against humanity that have been committed by the CIA against the American people. And I think once it's done, we are going to realize that the greatest real threat, the true threat to the national security of the United States of America, was never white right-wing extremism white supremacy. It was never some health crisis or some weapons of mass destruction. It wasn't even the fact that our border was left wide open. The greatest threat to national security has always been and will always be, so long as it exists, the Central Intelligence Agency. And its cutouts. Whether those are the intelligence communities of other nations, whether it's the FBI operating as a cutout of the CIA, which sometimes it does. We know that they've been spying on InfoWars since December 10th of 2013 under a Type 3 assessment, which allows them to take things like bank records, which allows them to send people in who are undercover spies to work here or operate here, which allows them to follow our employees around in public. And that Type 3 assessment is still open. And I'm not blaming Cash. It's not Cash's fault. It's not Trump's fault that it happened under his administration. He's not supposed to know everything all the time about what's going on everywhere all the time. It's impossible for one man to just totally get it. But we have a total apparatus that has been totally allowed to just run loose. This is a rabid dog without a leash that is just going around biting people, mostly in America. And we have to have accountability for these institutions. But our politicians, just like Chuck Schumer said, are too scared to hold them accountable because they have fixed ways to Sunday getting back at you. And God, every time I say his name, I can't help but think about how astronomically ugly his wife is. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a picture of Chuck Schumer's wife. Can you guys look it up? She is the ugliest woman that I've ever seen in my life. And I get it, man. Sometimes there's an ugly woman. She's really sweet. She's going to take care of you. She's going to take care of your family. So you marry up and then you live happily ever after, despite the fact that she's no bombshell. But Chuck, what is going on, man? Between Macron and Big Mike and Chuck Schumer's wife, it's like the big three of just ugly, 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 ugly. Something's just deeply wrong, folks. The JFK Director Stone calls for new probe and hearing on President's death. We're going to watch the first 2 minutes of this clip. It's 9 minutes long in total. I'm not going to show you the whole thing, but Oliver Stone, I think he really nails it. Let's watch 2 minutes of this.
Thank you, Chairman Luna, Chairwoman. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, I was here 33 years ago.
33?
I was sat in one of these rooms in Washington, and I told the congressmen and women about this movie I just made, JFK. And half of them were wondering what all the fuss was about. It was just a movie. And the other half were passionate in responding to the cries,
Matt,
of their constituents.
Will you please go to Glenn Beck's?
That demanded no more national security reasons preventing this from getting to clarity on our president's assassination. The Warren Commission of 1964, as it turned out, got us to second base with a lot of unknowns and, what was that? Obfuscations. And it all got crazier and crazier. Sides taken on this and on that. And what happened that awful day? It wasn't clear as to who the heck did this. Killed the president at high noon in Dealey Plaza in Dallas on November 22. And then year by grudging year, we learned in increments a little, but not much more. Often one step forward and two steps back. And now it's 2025. 58 years since Jack Kennedy was killed in 63. Repeat, almost 60 years. That's about two generations. Let's say from 1900 to 1960. As a result of the 1992 hearings that resulted from my film, in which I participated, Congress passed the JFK Records Act, which firmly said, all the records out unless you have a strong reason to protest our national security. All the reasons, all the records out, which is exactly what this case was. A national security matter. our president was killed. What is more important than that? Well, the Assassination Records Review Board really tried for a few years till 1998 to get those records out. But they didn't get any cooperation, although mandated by law, from the Central Intelligence Agency, which operated and still operates as a taxpayer-funded intelligence agency that arrogantly considers itself outside our laws. They say things like, "We will get back to you on that," and they never do. Or they give me a day and I'll come up with a reason why this matter is a national security matter, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing of importance has been revealed by the CIA in all these years, although we know from other records that there's a illegal criminal activities in every facet of our foreign policy in practically every country on earth. Just to begin, Cuba, Vietnam, Indonesia, Egypt, South America, the Middle East. We could write a whole separate history of our country from the viewpoint of the countries.
Yet so we do obviously not know. Oliver Stone, famous for the JFK movie, famous for the giant JFK documentary, which recently came out. I think he's actually done at least two JFK documentaries. This is somebody who, ever since Vietnam, has looked into every detail of JFK. And the thing that's frustrating is we're getting very little in the way of new details, despite the fact that thousands of these documents were released. Weird details did surface, like Ruby and Oswald meeting weeks before the assassination. Allegedly, there's this NBC tape or some tape that exists that hasn't been revealed to the public yet, showing Oswald in a different part than where we initially thought that he was from, or was alleged that he was shooting from, like on the ground level or something like that. There are details that seem to be emerging, but we haven't had that smoking gun document yet to prove what everybody already knows. Now, we know that the intelligence community was spying on him at least since 1959. Through 1963, for some reason, they had a particular interest in Lee Harvey Oswald. And now the CIA has sophisticated means, the FBI has sophisticated means, we're under a Type 3 assessment here at InfoWars, we know that people are spied on, followed, tracked, that their emails are read through secret programs like PRISM or others. We know that Edward Snowden created software that was then maligned and misused to surveil people all over the world for basically any reason whatsoever. I mean, if you have a top secret clearance and access to this technology, you can look at anybody's webcam, you can listen to anybody's phone, anybody's laptop microphone, you can spy on them through their television. You can even spy on people if their cell phone is off. You can spy on people through their cell phone if it's off and the battery's removed. That's how sophisticated this technology is. This has been revealed. But back then, in 1963 or 1959, the technology was not as present, but there was a much more militant and consensus-ridden intelligence community that was determined to win this Cold War at all costs. So I guess it makes sense maybe that they were spying on Lee Harvey Oswald for being suspected of being a communist. I mean, this is post-Red Scare going on here. Everybody's a communist. There's a crackdown happening in Hollywood. McCarthyism is rampant. I guess it kind of makes sense. But when you think about the fact that this following, tracking, espionage, Lee Harvey Oswald was happening all in the context of MKUltra, which was a mind control program using LSD to determine if they could program people to become assassins and then not even remember if they committed an assassination, like something from the movie Zoolander, then it makes sense that maybe it wasn't that they were following Lee Harvey Oswald around because he was a threat, but they were following Lee Harvey Oswald around because he was an asset. Because he was programmed through MKUltra to be involved in these nefarious activities, to be an assassin. Seems to me that what MKUltra really did was set up and empower the CIA to do political assassinations all over the world, even in the United States, even in the instance of MLK or Bobby or JFK. And it seems to me that the greatest threat to the CIA is not some foreign political interest, but the greatest threat to the CIA would be the executive branch. And so don't you think that various presidents of the United States or various leadership within the United States would be prime targets for a central intelligence agency determined to perpetuate its own existence? I mean, after the Bay of Pigs, Central Intelligence Agency faced an existential crisis. We had JFK allegedly coming out and saying, I will shatter them into 1,000 pieces and cast them to the wind, something like that. I'm paraphrasing the quote. And so they killed him. But we're waiting for that smoking gun document. And I do think that we're going to get it because I think enough of Congress has reached MAGA status. There's not going to be a political party that replaces the Republican Party or a political party that replaces the Democratic Party. These parties don't get replaced. They simply change form. Leftists, for time and time again, decade after decade, have said that the Republicans and the Democrats switched. And there's an argument to say that kind of did happen. Everybody in the South used to be Democrat. Then everybody in the South suddenly became Republican. There was some kind of a switch that went on, and there's absolutely been changes within these parties since the 19th century. I mean, the Democratic Party isn't the party of Andrew Jackson anymore, and the Republican Party isn't the party of Abraham Lincoln anymore. These are different parties. They don't die. They change form. They adapt like various species in nature, and they evolve into more sophisticated, more combative institutions, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. And what we're seeing right now within our own political system is the collapse of the Democratic Party and the transformation of the Republican Party, where it's going from neoconservative into populist. It's gone from war to MAGA, where before it was all about evangelical values and bashing the homosexuals and getting us into every war as long as it's Muslims that we're fighting against possible. Then you see the Mitch McConnells beginning to resign. You see the Lindsey Grahams beginning to lose their grip. The Tom Cotton's beginning to slip. You see the Dan Crenshaw's losing all popularity. This neoconservatism is just going away and it's being purged from the party and they're being replaced by the Boberts or the Alina Lunas. Or the J.D. Vances or the Donald Trumps or the other populists right before our eyes. And so what we're seeing right now is the Republican Party transforming into the populist party. You know, keep its name and its branding and its elephant just so that it doesn't lose any traction, just so that it doesn't lose any of the followers or support that it's gained over the years by developing its brand, its legacy brand, similar to Legacy News. Fox News is never going to change its name, even if it has to adapt. It should adapt. It's dying. But we see this transformation taking place right before our eyes. And I think this transformation will actually result in the Republican Party, the Populist Party, the MAGA Party, holding our intelligence community accountable in a way that the intelligence community does not have enough leverage to prevent. They could control isolated individuals, isolated incidents. They can control a president here and there, a congressman here and there. They could do it through blackmail or leverage or bribery. They could definitely do it to a certain extent, but then when half of a single party, which is the party that's in power, is suddenly coming out against the intelligence community, applying pressure, saying, where are the documents? What really happened? I mean, there's a reason that this is coming out right now. It's not just because Donald Trump signed one executive order, an order which he refused to sign in his first term because he was too scared of the ramifications. He believed the Mike Pompeos and others when they said this isn't just the right time. But this executive order has empowered and catalyzed what's happening already within the political movement to demand answers. And the CIA has got basically two decisions. They can either release the documents and tell the truth about what happened, and they know. Or they can do what they did during MKUltra, and they can simply destroy all the documents. But either way, it's probably over for them. Certainly in their current form. And I find it hard to believe, it's difficult to swallow the pill that maybe someday the CIA will be taken down because it is the most powerful organization in the world. It's got an infinite budget. Nobody knows what it spends its money on. There's no oversight, no accountability whatsoever. I mean, this is a hyper dangerous organization that exists. But maybe through enough political pressure, through enough of a populist awakening, we can apply enough pressure to at least get them to change form to some degree. And I think with these hearings and what's happening now and these promises that are being made by our leadership, They've committed too much to revealing the truth to just refuse to do so and then continue to be successful politically. I mean, I think it's over for the Pambanis if these Epstein files or these CIA documents don't come out. I think it's over for the CIA as we know it if these documents don't come out. I think it's over for our Republican Party as it stands if these documents don't come out. If the Democrats continue to shut this stuff down, I mean, that's just the most retarded thing they could possibly do. Everybody's like, oh, no, it's Mossad, it's Israel, they're blackmailing everybody, these documents are never going to come out. No. The CIA controls Mossad, not the other way around. You think Epstein was working for Mossad? Epstein was working for the CIA through Mossad. We tell them what to do. We're the ones with the brass balls in the room here. So the truth will come out, and I think it's going to come out this summer. I'll give him a few months on the Epstein files, I'll give him a few months on the JFK files, but it's definitely going to come out. Because you can just feel it in the zeitgeist. There's this subconscious among us, this collective consciousness that we all participate in if we choose to pay attention to it. It like whispers to us from the corner. And if you look at it, you can hear that it's saying justice will come, justice must come, the truth must come out. We are in the midst of a great renaissance right here. But the thing about a rebirth is there has to be a death, just like a baptism, where the old you dies and the new you emerges out of the water, where the Yeshua ben Nazareth dies and then the Son of God emerges out of the water, the Messiah emerges out of the water. There is a death of the old establishment that takes place before the birth of the new establishment takes place. The death of the Republican Party before the birth of the MAGA movement can take place. The death of the CIA before some new form can arise out of it. And right now what we are witnessing is the most historical, creative destruction that we have ever seen before in the history of the United States since the Industrial Revolution. We are seeing the death of the United States and the rebirth as a result of America, because the United States would not allow America to thrive. Ever since World War II, there has just been an infringement after an infringement, an encroaching after an encroaching, an expansion of government after expansion of government, to the point where we had to abandon our own currency and pull it off of the gold standard and then just print and print and print and arm and arm and arm and create bomb after bomb after bomb and conflict after conflict and war after war and terrorist attack after terrorist attack. I mean, we expanded this evil behemoth, this Goliath expanded out of the mountain like the dragon and the hobbit or something, just annihilating everything that we knew to be peaceful civilization and Western culture. And it ran its course. I mean, it's done. The plague is over. Now we just have to recover from the damage that it's done. And I see that recovery on the cusp. But the one thing that can prevent it from happening is if these globalists are successful in totally eradicating the world's economy before we're able to establish or gain our feet again in this fight. And that's what they're trying to do through Mark Carney, through these economic policies, through conspiracy among the political class and the globalist elite to tank stock markets. I mean, that is what George Soros is most famous for. And it's not just George or Alex Soros. It's the Zuckerbergs and the other tech behemoths like the Sam Altmans and the BlackRocks and the intelligence communities and the International Monetary Fund and the Bank of International Settlements and the Bank of England and the Bank of Canada and now the Nation of Canada. It's all these institutions, World Economic Forum, United Nations, and others, all conspiring together to try to collapse the dollar before populism really takes hold, so they can blame populism for a total economic collapse and then usher in this socialist, globalist leadership in the next generation. I mean, if you think things are crazy now, just wait till 2028, just wait till 2032. We are in for a hell of a 10 years, folks. Which is why we need your support more now than ever. Which is why we need you to go to the AlexJonesStore.com more now than ever. We've got this new product, Methylene Blue. This is by far and away the best product that we have ever sold. It lights me up like a Christmas tree. And I know I've said that in the past about Shilajit. It was true. I know I said it in the past about Turbo Force. It was true. But this is positively electric. It makes me feel like I'm plugged into the wall. It's taken by RFK Jr. All the research says it's amazing for your mind. It empowers your mitochondria. Basically dropping off an electron, an extra electron in every single cell. It is electric blue. Get Ultra Methylene Blue right now at the AlexJonesStore.com and experience the benefits of electricity all over your body right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, everything we broke down over the years has turned out to be dead on.
Most of the time when we were a little bit off, it was because things were much worse than we were saying. But in the main, we've been dead on. That's our mission, be the most accurate out there. MSM's mission is to deceive you, lie to you, because they're mercenaries for the globalist. And we're funded by viewers and listeners like you. So we try to bring you products that really work, that you're going to love, so you come back and get them again and again. So many of you are going to be excited to hear that our ultimate turmeric formula is back in stock. The Shilajit is the best quality. The Irish Sea Moss is available as well. You're going to want to reorder it. But for viewers that haven't ever gotten the products and haven't experienced them, you are missing out. If our information is game-changing and one of a kind, imagine what the products are like. Go now to TheAlexShowStore.com. There's not just great supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and more at TheAlexShowStore.com, powering the American resistance to globalists worldwide and winning. Methylene blue is all the rage. But for my listeners, we've been talking about it for decades. But finally, they've got factories. They've got laboratories that are producing medical, pharmaceutical, USP grade. And so, our sponsor, TheAlexShowStore.com, has it right now. The very highest quality. And I've taken USP grade before, and they claim it's USP grade. It works great. Massive energy, clarity, focus, no letdown. This is 10 times better. I'm actually scared of this. So I've seen Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, take three droppers on Air Force One. I took half a dropper, and I'm bouncing off the walls hours later. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the very best methylene blue I've ever had at the lowest price, and it funds the InfoWar, a total 360 win. So get your ultra, and it is ultra, methylene blue right now at TheAlexShowStore.com. The final battle is coming up towards the end of next month. Federal court's going to decide whether we get sold to the Bloomberg Group or whether they let patriots buy InfoWars and we continue on. But regardless, the final run, potentially, of X2 that is so incredible, the purest, best atomic iodine out there, has just come in at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off. This could be your last chance to get X2, but regardless, fans love it. It's back in, so you can get it. And for those that haven't tried it, get your X2 now, right now, at InfoWarsStore.com. Every order that comes in will be shipped out regardless. We're not getting shut down for at least a month, so this is your last chance to get X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 is one of the most amazing products, if not the most amazing, we've ever had at InfoWars. It's been a fan favorite for 12 years. So stock up now on what could be your last chance to get the legendary X2 at InfoWarsStore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sea Moss has been by far and away our best-selling product on the AlexJonesStore.com when we launched it some months ago. Now, we've had a hard time keeping the gummies in stock, so we formulated the capsules while we wait on more gummies to come in. Now, Irish Sea Moss is something that's known to be incredible for your body because of the natural iodine that exists in it. It's not just any iodine. It's also abundantly bioavailable. Now, if you don't know, iodine is incredible for your health and supports your body's ability to detoxify itself. Check out Ultimate Sea Moss Capsules right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Not only are you fighting for your health, your immunity, and your body's ability to detoxify itself, but you're fighting for humanity as well by keeping Alex Jones on the air, InfoWars on the air, and this crew operating to broadcast the truth worldwide wherever it is being censored, just like your body is under relentless assault and needs Ultimate Sea Moss Capsules in order to fight off all of the toxins that you're met with, so is InfoWars under assault and needs the audience. So go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now and subscribe for Ultimate Sea Moss Capsules every month.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Who can take the sugar from a sack? Pour in LSD and put it back. CIA man.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser, your host this morning. Harrison Smith will be hosting the War Room this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time. And Alex Jones is coming up in 1 hour and 27 minutes on the historic, the legendary, the infamous Alex Jones Show. We are going to be joined today at 2 p.m. by Lauren Boebert. In the context of these JFK hearings, which have been taking place yesterday, I believe there are some taking place even today. To get the latest on what's happening with the JFK releases, And at the end of the last segment, I was talking a little bit about how there is this attempt to totally undermine the dollar as the global reserve currency happening right now. And it's really complicated because it's not just one institution doing this. It's the globalists who want to do it so they can usher in a new global central bank digital currency. It's the Chinese who want to do it so that they can create a new global reserve currency, that some digital version of the yen or something of that nature. The Russians want it to happen because we sanction and regulate them through SWIFT. And the Iranians want it to happen for the same reason. All the OPEC nations kind of want it to happen because we force them to trade oil in dollars, and that's how we're able to control all of their economies, because we can freeze all the money when it's in the form of a dollar in all these banks that hold dollars. And so there's this whole entire litany of special interests that want the dollar to be replaced by something else as the global reserve currency. And we see the left implement the ideology to push this, whether they know it or not. We see sophisticated leaders like Klaus Schwab and Mark Carney push for this. Now they know it. We see these international monetary funds, these central bankers, banks of international settlements push for this. And all this bizarre shifting is happening in the context of NATO trying to go to a hot war with Russia and Britain trying to establish a neo-NATO so we can go to war with China through the proxy that is Iran. But I want to show you clip number four here. This is unhinged economist Jim Cramer blasting Trump tariffs. CNNBC host Jim Cramer went on an unhinged rant against President Donald Trump's tariffs, claiming his efforts to level the playing field and have countries stop taking advantage of the U.S. were having a negative effect on the economy. Let's watch this clip and then unpack it.
Maybe, though, what really happened today is that things have simply gotten too negative. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, who writes an annual chairman's letter required reading for anyone in the markets, wrote some fateful words today. Quote, I hear it from nearly every client, nearly every leader, nearly every person I talk to. They're more anxious about the economy than any time in recent memory. End quote. I come back and say, I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. But let's think about what that really means for you and me. We have declining inflation, except the president's putting on inflationary tariffs. We have incredibly low unemployment, except where it's caused by the Trump administration. We have a market that was doing extremely well last year until the Trump administration sowed a level of uncertainty that I can't recall any time since. Are you ready, Ski Daddy? Jimmy Carter. Which is the last time people were really worried about inflation. About stagflation, okay? Back then, stagflation was real. Now, Jimmy Carter. Curious benchmark. Break out the cardigan sweater. I know it's a brutal comparison. You think I did it idly? I cannot think of another president in my lifetime who knocked down the stock market simply by opening his mouth than Jimmy Carter. Eureka, I have found him. So let's look at it this way. Everything about this economy is good. Everything, except one thing. We have a president who's very angry at everyone except Vladimir Putin. Well, no, maybe even Vladimir Putin. And his wrath has made investors so downcast and so negative that people have just given up. They want nothing to do with stocks, nothing to do with this world, because they're sure the White House will keep laying on the tariffs that seem to be wiping out your wealth and my wealth. In this environment, it's a wonder anyone's buying anything, unless they think that the one person who's standing in the way of a great economy, one that could have incredible growth with lowered inflation, lower oil prices, less regulation, more confidence, will finally change the stripes. If Trump can lose the anger, drop the scowl, stop diminishing our friends and rivals while making common cause with our enemies, and generally start acting like he did in his first term, well, that would be huge for the stock market. As far as the stock market is concerned, though, we need less Jimmy Carter, more Ronald Reagan. Bottom line, maybe Wednesday is a deliberation day. It's just the day when American investors may be finally liberated from the president's not-so-pro-business attitude once he gets the tariffs out of the way.
All right, here's the bottom line, folks. Everybody always likes to look at the stock market to determine how healthy the economy is. It's been a staple for a long time. Ever since the Great Depression, unemployment rates have been a staple for a very long time. But these are all antiquated metrics, and there's several complicated reasons why, but it's BS. You have to keep in mind, folks, that over the course of the last 4 years, 40% of all dollars ever printed have been printed. And when that money's printed, it's given to the banks in the chain of the fractional reserve banking system from the central bank, and the banks hold on to that money, and they can do whatever they want with that money in order to get a return on whatever they lend out. Now, traditionally speaking, they might loan money out to buy houses for mortgages and then take the return over 30 years on a 30-year mortgage of that. But if nobody's buying houses, well, then maybe they'll loan the money out so people can start a business or expand their existing successful business so they can get interest on the returns of that. But if nobody's starting businesses, then what are they going to do with that money? They can't just leave it in their accounts, because if it sits there, it loses value over time because inflation is so high. So what these banks did, when they suddenly got 40% of all dollars ever printed, was they threw all of the money at the index 500 funds. They invested in the top 500, Fortune 500 companies, and they let the money sit there. So during the pandemic, the stock market exploded. So we have a situation where inflation is rampant, everybody is struggling, but for some reason, the stock market is doing so well, and it's because of inflation. We've reached a point where no middle-class American can afford to have children, let alone save money for retirement by investing in the Fortune 500 or an Index 500 fund. We've got people at record numbers pulling out of retirement. I think 60% of the country now is in credit card debt that they can't pay off in full every single month. We've got bankruptcies up under the Biden administration, record numbers, at least 20% year over year. Defaults up, nobody's buying houses because the interest rates are too high. I mean, every other metric other than unemployment and the stock market, we see that America, economically speaking, has been struggling. It's getting better. It's just the very beginning of Trump's term, but the economy sucks, and it's not because of what Donald Trump's doing. So what's going to happen is when inflation goes away, you're going to see these major banks, these major institutions, stop putting money in these index funds, and the stock market's going to go back down. And all the leftists, all the globalists are going to say, see, Donald Trump is harming the stock market, but no average American really has much money in the stock market. I know a lot of our listeners are a part of an older generation, maybe even retired. Maybe you do. But I'm telling you, I'm 35 years old. I have zero money in the stock market right now because I can't afford to. I'm paycheck to paycheck. Zero money saved for retirement. The only money that I possibly could have in retirement is if I sold my house. My house is my only investment. But your generation, many of the older generations, by the time they were 35, perhaps for 10 or 15 years, they've been putting a little away every month in an index fund or a mutual fund. They've been listening to Dave Ramsey, putting money into the side, and it's compounding over years and years and years, and they're preparing responsibly for retirement. Gone are those days because everybody is trying to make ends meet. And then the leftists come out and say, well, under the Biden administration, unemployment was at record lows. It's pretty much considered full unemployment if the unemployment rate is below 5%. That is an antiquated metric right now because it doesn't count the people, the 7 to 10 million people of working age, not disabled, who just left the workforce entirely. So they're not looking for jobs. They don't get counted as unemployed. And those among us who are employed are underemployed. So before, when maybe you were an engineer for a tech company and you were making $150,000 to $200,000 a year, now maybe you're an engineer for a tech company and you're making $75,000 a year, plus you're driving Uber on the side. You have three crappy jobs instead of one good job, but technically you count as employed, so the economy's doing so well, even though you're trying to frantically figure out how you're going to make ends meet. With side hustles and extra gigs, maybe you're making your kids work if you can afford to even have kids, frantically trying to save up for a down payment on a house. And it's not just in the major cities like San Francisco or Chicago or Austin or New York where people are struggling to make down payments on a house. I mean, it's happening all over the Midwest in small town after small town. There was a time in this country where you could graduate from high school, become an electrician, and within a couple of years, you're married, you got a couple of kids, and you own your own house. That time used to exist, but no more because of inflation. The inflation artificially makes the market seem like it's doing so well because all the banks put all their money in the market. The unemployment rate goes way down because everybody's working odd jobs, so technically they're not unemployed. People are like, the leftists are like, what's wrong? Well, the problem is that everybody owns nothing and is unhappy. This globalism only kept half of its promise. Its promise that you will own nothing and be happy was only half fulfilled. You just own nothing. While you struggle to make repairs on your car, while you struggle to pay for gasoline. While the institutions and establishments in place, from the health organizations to our political class, wipes out all of the poultry supply and the egg supply in order to cull all of these herds because of a bird flu that one person in Louisiana allegedly died from, while California declares a state of emergency, are you kidding me? Do you realize that over the course of the last 4 years, poultry farm fires went up 400% compared to the 4 years before that? Between 2016 and 2020, poultry farm spontaneous fires were 25% of what they are now, or 20%. It's absolutely insane. And nobody's saying that these fires are going up because of some program, but it's very obvious that these fires are intentionally happening. I think the government's going in and they're intentionally trying to destroy and reduce the supply of poultry, sometimes in the name of eradicating flocks that have been infected with the bird flu, but mostly in the name of ensuring that there's a shortage of things like eggs and chicken, because then they can use that to create pain in the market. So people complain about the price of eggs, people complain about the price of poultry, and then the response to that complaint is, okay, we can fix the problem, but we have to vaccinate all of the poultry with mRNA technology. And if you look at reports from 4 years ago, you'll see that there was study after study, report after report coming out saying that people could be vaccinated through produce that had been vaccinated with mRNA technology. And if they could be vaccinated through produce that had been hit with mRNA technology, what's to say the technology couldn't be adjusted to vaccinate or inoculate entire populations through poultry that had been vaccinated with mRNA tech? We saw in the couple of months leading up to the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump that all of these health institution leaders, political class shills, globalist shills, were all advocating for massive inoculation of poultry all over the country with mRNA technology that then could eventually be used in order to inoculate populations. The CIA loves this because, of course, the government should have the power to inoculate the masses in the event of a biological warfare taking place between China. We've even got Hegseth coming out right now saying that we're prepared for war with China. I'm not blaming Hegseth. I'm blaming the entire momentum of the institutions that arrive at the front door of Hegseth's office and misguide and mislead our honest leaders into believing that there's some major necessary threat with China. And this threat with China coincidentally comes up at the same time of all these claims of surface-to-air missiles from Iranians crossing the southern border, of claims that these assassination attempts on the president of the United States are Iranian-backed, that Iran wants to assassinate him, coaxing and catalyzing President Trump to come out and say that if there's a single Houthi attack on a U.S. ship, then we're going to blame Iran and wage war with Iran, all while our certain strategic allies in the region want a war with Iran. I mean, you have to keep in mind that war with Iran is not a war with Iran. A war with Iran is a war with China through Iran. Just like a war in Ukraine is not a war between Ukraine and Russia. A war in Ukraine is a war between the United States and Russia just through the proxy of Ukraine. China backs Iran and uses and funds Iran to harass our interests in the Middle East because China is trying to undermine the dollar as the global reserve currency and wants these OPEC nations to trade oil in currencies other than the dollar. They want to establish the Belt and Road Initiative so they have a trade monopoly in the entire hemisphere of the planet. And they understand that as long as there is instability in the region that is operating on behalf of the United States, frankly it is, as a puppet of the United States, then we can never create a competitive trade route. They are thinking in terms of the next 100 years. The reason that we went to war in Ukraine is because we don't want Russia diverting Ukrainian exports away from Europe and into China, making China independent of the United States. The reason that we want a war in Iran is because we want to ensure that oil is always traded in U.S. dollars. And so we'll use terrorist attacks on Israel as an excuse. So right now, there's this war against Russia. There's this war against China that's about ready to happen. We're about ready to focus our efforts on the war in Iran while trying to appease Russia so that it doesn't pair up with China so that we can save the dollar as the global reserve currency long enough to establish some new monetary system before this central bank currency, this fractional reserve fiat currency, inevitably collapses. The globalists seeing this inevitable collapse are installing people like Mark Carney to initiate trade wars, are trying to manipulate all of our so-called allies to initiate trade wars and collapse the dollar, while the Russians are trying to harass the dollar, while BRICS is trying to harass the dollar, while China is trying to harass the dollar, importing record numbers of gold, misreporting the amount of gold that it's mining domestically. Every major superpower in the world right now is setting the stage for a post-economic collapse world, and they're trying to vie for the new position of economic dominance. Globalists don't want China to have it because China's sovereign and out of control. The globalists don't want Russia to have it because Russia's sovereign and out of control. The globalists want to have it themselves. China wants to have it itself, and it's trying to get Russia on its team. Russia wants to have it itself. But it can't be the dollar, according to anyone except for the CIA. The CIA understands that the greatest threat to national security, other than the CIA, is the collapse of the U.S. dollar, because it's the global reserve currency, and if it collapses, all the other economies collapse, something else will come in to replace it, and massive amounts of people will die. Tens of millions, if not billions, of people will die of starvation, exposure, total economic desperation. Regimes will fall apart. New regimes will rise. There'll be all these nukes flying all over Europe, laying around all over Europe with no predictability as to who's going to take power after an economic collapse. I mean, things really change after a total economic collapse. Just look at what happened to Germany in 1933. Look at what happened to the Soviet Union in the 1990s. When there's a total economic collapse, the establishment in any nation is always blamed, and what comes next is totally unpredictable. It might be fascist. It's very seldom capitalist or democratic, either fascist or Marxist, or perhaps some form of royal, or maybe some form of Sharia. Some radical religious fundamentalist philosophy will take over. But the CIA understands that if the dollar collapses, that's it for the United States of America. Basically forever. And that's why they've gotten us into all of these wars. They tried to stop communism to ensure our interests through Vietnam and Cuba and things of that nature. We got involved in Afghanistan to ensure that oil would be traded in dollars. We lied and invaded Iraq to ensure that Saddam would not subvert our ability to trade oil in dollars. We assassinated Gaddafi to ensure that Libya would not trade oil in anything other than dollars. And right now, we're harassing Iran because China is trying to subvert the dollar. Right now, we're harassing Russia because Russia is trying to establish alternatives through BRICS. And it's not Israel trying to get us in a war with Iran on behalf of their national security interests. It's us weaponizing Israel against Iran. It's actually our fault. It's not the Jews. Well, Chase, how about the Jews that lead all of this, these different institutions, administrations? Yes, I understand that it's complicated. And that there are problems and issues with people that don't really have America's best interest in their heart. But it's not. It's the other way around. We use Israel to abuse the interests of the United States and to wage war constantly in the region. Israel does not use us to defend itself. We pay for all their stuff so that we can leverage them. We don't pay for all their stuff because we are leveraged. Because at any time, we can threaten to take away all military support, all help, all aid, and all assistance, and then Israel's screwed. So who's really in control here? Everybody always thinks it's the Jews. It's the Jews. Listen, Israel was established in 48. We had problems going back to as early as 1913. The establishment of the Federal Reserve was the problem. Say, oh, the Zionists were behind that too. Shut the up. Do you really think the problem is that AIPAC is funding Dan Crenshaw? Or do you think the problem is that Dan Crenshaw sucks? It's that Dan Crenshaw sucks. If our politicians can be bought, we can't blame the people buying them. They're for sale to anyone all over the world. The Hunter Bidens were paid off by the Chinese. The Ukrainians paid off half of our Congress. At least half, more than half. Both Republicans and Democrats waving Ukrainian flags around. Giving Nazis in Ukraine $63 billion on Hitler's birthday last year, April 20th, 2024. Waving Ukrainian flags. No accountability here domestically. Well, we fund them a bunch of money, and then they kick it back to our politicians. CIA loves it because, we need to wage war against Russia through Ukraine because Russia is trying to establish a threat to the dollar as the global reserve currency. Look, folks, there's a reason the Ten Commandments are the Ten Commandments. It's because if you violate them, shit goes bad. If you lie all the time, your life is going to be hell. If you commit adultery, your life is going to be hell. If you worship false idols, your life is going to be hell. If you steal, your life is going to be hell. And our civilization, on a macro scale, committed a big, gigantic lie in violation of thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie, when it said that the dollar was worth anything when it wasn't. Then we got called on it, and then we went off the gold standard, made it a lie to the world, and it's backed now by war instead of some precious metal. It's backed by blood instead of gold. And I'd rather have a currency backed by gold or silver or Bitcoin than blood, because it wasn't just the 10 or 20 or 30,000 U.S. soldiers who were casualties of these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. It was the 500,000 civilians, the millions upon millions of people all suffering now, by the way, in Afghanistan and Iraq, especially Afghanistan. We allowed the terrorists to take over. The Afghan army just yielded immediately. We had interpreters that just got totally screwed over. There are children over there, little boys with their nails painted to indicate to everyone in their community who they belong to based on the color that their nails are painted, because they're being raped incessantly. There were clips going viral this week of little boys doing this, like, ass-shaking dance to seduce the older men in the community. They can't sleep with the women unless they're married to them. They can't sleep with grown men because they'll get stoned for that. That's gay, but you can sleep with a little boy, no problem whatsoever. And what do you think happens to that little boy when he grows up then? He does the same thing. And if his parents are cousins, and his IQ is lower than 85 as a result of that, and he's being dramatically, tragically abused his whole life, you think he's going to grow up and be a terrorist? Maybe. And they're trying to spread this religion and philosophy all throughout Europe happening right now. We're going to get more into this on the other side, what's happening. Even in the United States, Texas residents blast 400-acre epic Islamic compound planned outside of Dallas. I mean, you thought Waco was bad. Just wait till you see Sharia law's version. It's unbelievable. But you're the threat. White supremacy is the threat. Domestic white extremist terrorism is the threat. InfoWars is the threat. Broadcasting and freedom of speech is a threat, with these pundits coming out and literally saying on the news that freedom of speech is the reason that the Nazis took power in 1933. That's what they're saying. You think freedom of speech is a threat? I think it's a threat that we've built an entire global economy off of a lie, and nobody knows what's going to happen after it collapses, and all of the world's supervillains are in a position to ensure that they have the infrastructure in place to replace this global economy with the next one and then subjugate humanity under this New World Order central bank digital currency. And I know that Donald Trump came out and signed an executive order, which I agreed with, saying that central bank digital currencies would always be illegal in the United States of America. But so what? You think that's going to be enforceable if everything collapses and the media and the CIA and these other institutions are successfully able to erroneously blame and point the finger at populism as the reason for this collapse when they themselves are the ones who perpetuated and conducted and conspired to ensure this collapse would manifest? They can't just elect some other president in 2028 or 2032 who undoes Donald Trump's executive order making central bank digital currencies illegally and then allows us to adopt some globalist banking system in which we're all put under some social credit score. I mean, this is what happens if you don't support us at thealexjonesstore.com, if you don't keep us on the air. And I'm told, I can't give you the details, but I'm told that we are 30 or 60 days away from being shut down here at InfoWars because of some of the tragic developments in our court. And we have to ensure that Alex Jones can stay on the air, that this crew can stay in the fight, that these other hosts can stay on the air, no matter what happens to InfoWars. And the best way to do that is by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we've been talking a lot about methylene blue, but don't forget, if you've already got your methylene blue and you haven't got your Alex Jones coin, please check out this amazing new coin. This is, I believe, the only silver coin that we've ever made that features Alex Jones's depiction on it, his face on it. It's got his signature on it, his face on one side with an American flag behind him. And then on the other side, it says Alex Jones InfoWars 2025. It's 1 ounce. Now, this is a fundraiser coin. It goes for, I believe, $100. But if you sign up for the VIP club, it's $30 a month. You get $40 in store credit. This coin is only $79. Plus, you get $40 in store credit. So it's like a no-brainer that you would sign up as a VIP and get this coin. Now, we're going to be coming out with one of these coins every once in a while, and it's going to be incredibly valuable and awesome, frankly, to have the entire collection. So please, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Check out the newest silver coin depicting Alex Jones on one side and InfoWars on the other side, not just because the coin's amazing, but because we're under assault, attack by a globalist, satanic elite wanting to shut down and subjugate all of humanity. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason Alex and this crew will always be on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars is back on the air. The judge is having emergency hearings. Looks like their fraudulent sale won't go through. But regardless, I'm suing the daylights out of the Democratic Party and the big national gun control group that's actually behind The Onion and has now admitted it in court. So, we also have backup studios, the Alex Jones Network. Whatever they do, we're staying on air to make sure Trump gets into office and to back him and his agenda to stop World War III, secure the borders, and more. But we can't do it without your support. So there are all these new, amazing, incredible designs up on on thealexjonesstore.com. It has nothing to do with InfoWars. Not owned by me, so they can never get that. That's how we stay on the air, even if they're successful in shutting us down. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com and you get great supplements, t-shirts, limited edition collectible fundraiser posters, and more, you will keep me on the air regardless of the Alex Jones Network. Please go to the site now, thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on air. They're amazing products. Thank you so much for taking action. You are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Senator, a universal injunction is what we call an order from a court enjoining the government in a way that goes beyond the parties to the case, but applies nationwide or in some cases universally to enjoin
it,
the government.
Is it sometimes referred to as a nationwide injunction?
Yes, it is, Senator.
What's the statutory basis for a federal judge issuing an order that affects people other than the parties before the court?
I'm not aware of a statutory basis, Senator.
There is no statutory basis, is there?
No, Senator.
What's the United States Supreme Court opinion which interprets the Constitution in a way that allows a federal district court judge to do this? Can you name me that case?
I'm not aware of one, Senator.
There isn't one, is there?
I'm not aware of one, Senator.
Explain to me how this works. How can a federal judge issue an order that affects everybody else other than those in front of him or her? How is that possible?
It shouldn't be possible, Senator, but district courts do it all the time. I think on the theory that the courts need to enjoin a federal policy from going into effect, and they often will enjoin it as nationwide, so all non-parties are protected by that injunction.
I thought that if you wanted to affect parties who aren't in court, you had to file a class action.
That's correct, Senator.
So why don't the federal judges, instead of issuing a universal injunction with no legal basis, tell the plaintiff, look, you got to go file a class action if you want to impact parties who aren't subject to my court?
Senator, the Department of Justice makes that argument all the time in our briefs. I think in many cases, class actions would be inappropriate. They wouldn't, the plaintiffs couldn't satisfy Rule 23 to establish a class.
So they couldn't?
Correct.
So they prefer to ask for a universal injunction?
Yes.
Does this encourage forum shopping?
Yes, Senator. Not only does it encourage forum shopping, but also district shopping and filing multiple strategic lawsuits to find one judge that will enjoin a single policy nationwide. If you have five lawsuits, only one of those five cases needs to be successful.
Okay. We've established that there's no basis in statute and no basis in Supreme Court precedent for universal injunction. How about a common law? I mean, this is universal injunction is basically an equitable remedy. Did this exist in common law courts in England on which our law is based?
I don't believe so, Senator. I think the government has cited cases from the Supreme Court that says, you know, courts are really bound by the scope of relief that a court in equity would have granted back in England before the founding. And the courts at that time would grant relief to the parties in the case, not far beyond the.
A universal injunction as a remedy is unknown in English common law, is it not?
I haven't done the research that far back, but I'm not aware.
I have. It's unknown. Wasn't part of equity. Only about 27 universal injunctions were issued in the 20th century. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right, Senator.
But 86 of them were issued against President Trump in his first term. Is that correct?
I don't know the specific number, but they were a high number.
And so far in President Trump's second term, 30 universal injunctions have been issued against him, have they not?
Senator, I don't have a specific number, but that sounds about right.
The universal injunction has become a weapon against the Trump administration, has it not?
Yes.
And tell me again in my last 10 seconds, tell me the basis for universal injunction in Article 3. I read Article 3, which defines judicial power. Where does it mention universal injunction?
It does not, Senator. It says courts are to decide the case or controversy before them, which is based on the parties to the case.
So the Congress could act and say, look, federal judges, you render a decision to a plaintiff or a defendant, but you can't impact people outside of your courtroom other than through a class action. That's why God created class actions, isn't it?
Yes, Senator.
Back on the other side of this break. With more breaking news, we're going to get into some of what's going on with the ACLU, Texas Local, warns of Islamic City coming, and more. In the meantime, please go to the AlexJonesStore.com and be the reason that we're still on the air. Methylene Blue is still in stock. If you order today, it will ship, I believe, on April 7th. We had such high demand last week that we ordered so many more, but it's going so fast. Please subscribe. It's the only way to get 50% off, and this stuff will make you feel like you're plugged into the wall. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Get Ultra Methylene Blue, and don't miss out on the opportunity to be the best version of yourself. Stay tuned.
The 8th coin in the limited edition series is now exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 8th in the series. Your past purchases have kept us on the air. There's only 4,000 of this coin. I designed all the others, but the crew said, hey, people keep asking for an Alex Jones coin. This is the first and probably the only one we'll ever do. InfoWars on the back. Myself, the American flag on the front with my signature. It is vital to keep us on the air. Plus, it's an amazing coin. All the other in the last seven, the last few years we put out. You look at them online, they're selling for way more than we printed them up. But I'm not even pushing it as a collectible coin. It is a fundraiser to keep us on the air. We absolutely need the funds. It is historic, and it costs us about $40 for each coin, for the silver and for having it printed or minted in Missouri. And you can get it for $99 if you're not a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com, for $70-something if you are. People love the coins. It keeps us on air. It's a fundraiser.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geiser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser, your host. Harrison Smith will be hosting The War Room today at 3 o'clock Central Time. Alex Jones is coming up in 54 minutes to host The Alex Jones Show. I'm told that we are going to be joined by Congresswoman Lauren Boebert at 2 p.m. Central Time for 30 minutes to discuss all that has been unfolding in the JFK hearings over the last couple of days. We just showed you some of Senator Kennedy talking about how asinine it is that these federal judges are interfering with the executive branch. And the theme of the show, which is the theme of InfoWars, basically, is that the globalists are attempting to undermine the sovereignty of the United States and take over, establish one world government. And we see this happening all over Europe right now, where eventually what's going to happen is there won't be any more Europeans in Europe, just as the problem with Scotland is that it's full of Scots from Braveheart. And then all of their policy and legislation then throughout Europe will be conducive to the success of undermining the dollar as a global reserve currency in the Middle East. All these institutions will stop backing the dollar, all these countries in the next 20, 50, or 100 years, once these demographics change. And if it happens in the United States, the same thing will happen as well. And they're trying to push it in the United States too. We've seen it over the last 4 years. We've seen it over the last 40 years. And they're going to weaponize economic collapse for the sake of establishing a new world order. But Texas residents blast 400-acre epic Islamic compound planned outside of Dallas. This is clip three. We're going to run in a second. Residents of Dallas, Texas suburb sounded off at a local county meeting on their opposition to a proposed Islamic compound planned nearby, arguing the Muslim megacity would clash culturally with American values. Let's watch.
I'm a Josephine resident. I live in the city, but the proposed site is just a couple miles from my home, from our neighborhood. Our neighborhood has been listening to their videos, trying to recruit people to purchase and invest for quite a while now, many, many months. One of the first videos we heard said that they wanted to install a loud system, a speaker system, that would blast their music to call them to prayer. And they could do it as loud as they wanted to because they specifically chose a site just outside of the city so they could do that. My question is, why do they have to build a compound? Why not just build their mosque? Why not become our neighbors, go to our schools? I'm not saying that they have to give up their culture. What I'm saying is, why do they have to build a compound? What do they have to hide? On the issue of water, last summer, our water restrictions are starting in Josephine. Last summer, we did not only lose water pressure, we ran out of water one day because the construction site had left water open by mistake. We were told to not use our water and wait for the water to replenish so we could turn our water back on. So we had that issue. Not to mention, I grew up in Michigan. I saw what happened to Dearborn, Michigan. I know what goes on in Dearborn, Michigan. It was labeled the jihad of America. Now we have Paterson, New Jersey, which is the Palestine of America. If this is community is trying to cater to the Muslim population, I, as a practicing Christian who has Jewish blood, if I wanted to fly a flag that is in protest, a banner in protest of Hamas, do I need to fear for myself because of this compound that is nearby?
Yes.
These are the true fears that are happening in our community. My question is, why do they have to build a compound? Why something of that magnitude? Why are they hiding from us? We welcome them to become our neighbors, go to our schools. The other question is, are they going to be hiding behind their mosque and have tax exemption for this entire compound? Because it might be owned by the mosque, and then they, I don't know, give the property out to their folks. That's another question that we have, is that are they going to be doing this to evade paying taxes because of that tax exemption? So as a resident that's only a couple minutes, I am concerned the governor and the state is investigating Epic for criminal activity. And this is the same group that wants to move in next to my home.
Thank you, ma'am.
I appreciate it.
All right. So she's right with those concerns. I don't know if all of them would play out the same way that she's saying, but the problem is that we are seeing our government protect the invasion of our country, the cultural and physical replacement of our people, and replacing it with something completely incompatible. And look, there's a reason that in the United States, we've seen the greatest level of peace among differing religions, and it's because we protect the freedom of religion. There's a reason that in the United States, we've seen the greatest level of peace among different political opinions because we protect freedom of speech. There's a reason that in the United States, we have less violence than so many of the world's nations, and it's because we protect the Second Amendment right to defend oneself. In Texas, someone's going to break into your house. They've got to have some balls or just no wits about them because there's a chance that whoever's in that house is armed and ready to roll. These freedoms that are ensured, including the freedom of religion, are the reason that we've seen so much peace in the United States. But the difference is, with Sharia law, we've seen from the Pew Research studies that a very disturbing number of Muslims in the United States believe that sometimes suicide bombing is justified as a form of political protest. Not the majority, but a substantial number of them. And keep in mind, folks, the Revolutionary War in the United States was waged by a small number of people proportionally. A lot of people say the 6%, that's been disputed. 10 to 20% maybe of people that were really behind the war in the beginning and were able to successfully conspire to wage it. So we need to stop thinking in this democratic way about majorities versus minorities. Yes, it's an important factor, but even an activated minority is able to wage all sorts of conflict, violence, political campaigns. Just look at what's happened to Elon Musk over the course of the last couple of months. We had a political party which claimed that it loved democracy so much, which claimed that so many things were a threat to our democracy, which advocated for democracy in Ukraine, which advocated for democracy in Israel, which advocated for democracy in Taiwan, its whole entire campaign, threat to our democracy, threat to our democracy. Then it continues to just totally undermine a president who's running for president again, Joe Biden, replace them with a candidate who was not elected in an honest primary whatsoever. Like the second or third time the Democratic Party has just chosen the candidate without any representation from its people. Then lost a Democratic election. I know we're a constitutional republic, but it was a democratic process. And when they lost, instead of conceding because they love democracy so much, they just proceeded to wage war. This activated minority of people successfully firebombing Teslas, successfully planting homemade explosives at Tesla dealerships, successfully keying Teslas all over the nation with swastikas and other messages. So my concern is if another 20 or 30 or 40 years goes by and we import this culture, which absolutely does despise our culture, and we allow the practice of cousin marriage to perpetuate here in the United States, we allow it to happen all over Europe, then how long until we see a tremendous amount of violence here? And it's not that they hate us because we're white. They hate us because we're Western. They hate us because we believe in the principles behind John Locke's Second Treatise of Government, because we believe in the principles behind Thomas Paine's Common Sense, because we believe in the principles by Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. They hate us because we believe in freedom of speech, freedom of religion, right to assemble, right to petition. This is why they hate us. And they just marry all those values. Even values like punctuality, they marry to whiteness. And they say the only reason you're on time is because you're white. So being on time is a microaggression. While they import and flood in these terrorists, and not just Muslim terrorists from Palestine or Iraq or Afghanistan. Yes, they do that. But they allow 30,000 people from the CCP to come in, obviously sent here by the CCP, so they can have sleeper cells available in the event that we go to war with China. China is touting that it's ready for war with the United States of America. The United States of America is touting that it's ready for war with China. When we know that China has 300 times the shipbuilding capacity of the United States, you say, oh, well, Chase, those are just commercial ships. You realize that the commercial ships built in China have to all be military grade, and they're all immediately convertible to military ships. They can build ships 300 times faster than us. We brag about our naval superiority and our cool F-35 jets when just like a year and a half ago, we had an F-35B that was stolen by our own government, and it lied about it and then paid some asinine witness to claim that it saw the crash when that was obvious it never happened. All there is footage of a burnt field where allegedly this plane crashed because of the weather. You think an F-35B crashes because of inclement weather? Are you kidding me? You can fly a Hudson into a river with, you can fly a 747 into the Hudson River with no engines. You can land an F-35B. No. The F-35B, if you look into it, it's one of the only jets that's been totally hacked by the Chinese, documented 10 years ago. It's also the only jet that can automatically eject a pilot when certain conditions are met without the pilot having to pull the lever. They hacked it when it was testing an upgrade. They ejected the pilot against his will. He landed. They stole the plane. They were so embarrassed. They claimed they could only find it 24 hours later. They were so embarrassed that they claimed that they found it. It was stolen by the Chinese. So they're stealing our planes. They're putting 30,000 sleeper cells in the United States while we're about ready to go to war with them over the dollar in Iran. Everybody's so distracted thinking that the war with Iran is the Jews' fault. No, man, it's all about the dollar. Everything we do is about the dollar. We're the ones in control. Our leaders have just sold us out. That's the problem. And they can build 300 times the ships that we can build. So if we ever try to do anything in the Pacific Ocean in a war with China, we're just totally screwed. And yes, Americans are capable of doing amazing things. Yes, after Pearl Harbor happened, we were able to fight back against Japan and ultimately win that war because we got our shit together and we built ships and we did miracle missions and we had strong leadership. But back then, we had cultural consensus. All the people in the United States of America, whether German, black, white, Native American, Persian, even Japanese, the ones we interned, God, it's so bad that we did that. There was this idea that we were all American and we believed in the American values. And so when we were attacked, we responded in kind together. Even after 9/11, our patriotism, which was hijacked literally in the Patriot Act, it took everybody's consensus in support and political will. They hijacked it in our own deep state, our own intelligence community, our own political establishment, used it to betray us. But the 9/11 thing isn't going to happen again. The terrorist attack might happen again, but the people coming together won't. Because the next time there's a major attack that gets us into another war, everybody's going to know that it's BS deep state crap, and they're going to blame our own political class. That's what's going to happen. So the point I'm trying to make is, until we get our political establishment accountable, until we do things like eradicate and rebuild the CIA with something else and more accountability, until we purge the halls of all of our institutions of these leftists, these globalists, these political figures who are ceaseless in their attempt to exploit the American people, until we stand up for Western values instead of shriveling back in a corner because we're afraid that we're going to be perceived as so-called Nazis or bigots. Until we realize that it's more important to fight the Nazis than it is to avoid being called one. Until we realize that it's more important to fight evil than it is to avoid being perceived as evil. Until we realize that you have to stand up and face the dragon will always occupy the mountain. That's what you have to do. And it's always the little people who are needed most to solve the problem, whether it's in The Hobbit and Bilbo was needed in order to purge the dragon from the mountain, or whether it was in Lord of the Rings when it was Frodo and Sam who single-handedly, they had help, but they single-handedly made the right decision at a pivotal moment to save all of Middle-earth from the evils of Mordor. And they waited way too long to solve the problem. Totally unnecessary that the problem even had to exist to begin with, but evil was able to get enough power that it waged a serious threat. We are facing the same thing right now here in the United States of America, where all the good little people have been quiet and minded their own business, and they haven't had the time, and they've been struggling, and evil has been building and amassing this army, cultural, spiritual, and now physical. With massive amounts of gold being developed in China, massive amounts of military development happening in China, massive amounts of military development happening in Iran right now. I can't remember what the number is, guys. Maybe you can look it up. What is the number of people in Iran's standing army? Hundreds of thousands. It's much larger than Israel. And even if you account for reserves, it's still significantly larger than Israel. Where we've allowed the development of Russia's military. We've literally been funding China since our political class sold out all of the manufacturing labor to outsource it to China. We have been funding this machine. It's like as if Gondor had been paying Mordor to make their swords and their medicine and send crops, and they just funded the development of the Uruk-hai and the orcs, just arming themselves and building up their massive armies. I mean, that's literally what we've been doing for the last 50 or 60 or 70 years with China. I'm not trying to blame everything on the Chinese, but the CCP absolutely hates the United States because it's dependent on the United States, and the Chinese believe in national sovereignty. So the globalists hate them, and they hate the rest of the world that interferes with their sovereignty. They hate their own people that interfere with their sovereignty. That's why they have the social credit score and just massive control over their own populace. And they understand that their population is drastically aging. They understand that they're not having enough children. Now they're trying to pay people to have children. And there's going to be a major crisis economically in China when they do not have the labor force to satisfy the manufacturing demands of the world. And when that happens, there's this massive contraction. With contraction comes vulnerability. With vulnerability comes fear. And with fear comes the dark side, aggressive expansion. So we are going to see radical violence from China through Iran and others in the next 30 years. Russia's got the same thing happening economically here, and Putin is not the problem. Putin is a dictator. I don't like how he arrests journalists and things like that. That's definitely true, what is said about Putin and Russia. But it's also true about Ukraine, and it's also true about the United States. I mean, what has the United States done if not harass journalists like the Edward Snowdens and the Julian Assanges? What did Ukraine do if not allow an American journalist to die in one of their prisons? What did the United States do if not imprison hundreds or thousands of people for January 6th because they walked into a building as the door was held open and they minded the velvet ropes? I mean, everything we accuse our enemies of, we are absolutely guilty of, and if not worse, because we've had the resources to do it on a massive global scale in a way that these other nations haven't. But they've got a population collapsing. They've got an economy that is 70% based on natural gas exports to Europe. So they're totally vulnerable. We've threatened them by trying to make Ukraine part of NATO, which would put the enemy on their border. And then what's going to happen is when Putin dies or when he retires, someone else is going to take the helm in Russia. We don't know who that is. And they're going to have these thousands of nukes, all while the Russian population is collapsing from aging out because of war after war and lower fertility rate after lower fertility rate. All while China, also nuclear power as I understand it, is facing the same economic desperation. When these powerful countries become desperate, they are left with no choice but to exercise their power. And the globalist institutions, rather than keeping America propped up or allowing America to thrive or be prosperous, are trying to weaken America in the context of growing international threat because they want the collapse of the current system in order to usher in the new system. The new world order. After World War I, you establish the League of Nations. That's 33%, one-third of the world taken over. Causes World War II, and after World War II, you establish the United Nations. That's two-thirds of the world taken over. And after World War III, you're going to have something yet to be named that takes over the rest of the world, and it's likely going to be controlled by the international bankers, by central bank digital currencies, using technology developed by the intelligence communities all the way from blockchain through whatever else you can possibly imagine, facial recognition, DNA being hijacked from 23andMe. I mean, they're going to know everything about you. Your DNA makeup, how to make biological weapons that can just totally take you down or eradicate you or neutralize you or make you have brain fog forever without knowing it. They're going to have the power through the pharmaceutical companies to inoculate you through all the food that you eat. Our foreign enemies are the ones that are actually buying up the acreage of farmland here in the United States of America. They're going to make speaking out totally illegal, censorship rampant. They're going to control information, the economy, health, food, everything you need to live. They are going to control. And then when there's too many of you or you're out of control or you're no longer valuable to them, they're going to use climate change as an excuse to depopulate and eradicate you. And it's not going to be by firing squad. It's going to be by massive rapid cancers like we're seeing right now from the mRNA vaccines. People are dying all of a sudden of bizarre forms of leukemia never heard of before. I've heard of people getting cancer so bad, such rare forms of leukemia, that their bones even stop producing new blood. Children die. It's not just the heart failures and the collapses on a soccer field. I mean, it's young people in their 20s and 30s. Cancer. Total organ failure. And everyone's acting like this is totally normal. But this is exactly what we've been predicting on InfoWars since years and years in the past with these vaccines. They're trying to own you, your body, and your mind. And ultimately, they want to own your soul, too, which is fundamentally what makes it satanic. They break down your heart and your mind in your body, so you're so desperate and dependent, and you're willing to concede anything, to hand over any right whatsoever, to allow any humanitarian crisis whatsoever to take place, so that they can own your soul, tax the living hell out of you in a neo-serfdom or a neo-fief, and then fund the development of this massive artificial intelligence technology, this massive biological technology, so they can reverse the original punishment for original sin. God said, if you eat from the tree of knowledge, you will surely die. And they're trying to give God the middle finger. They know we won't. So they can live forever as gods themselves. Remember what the serpent said in the Garden of Eden? If you eat from the tree of the fruit of knowledge, of good and evil, you will become like God. So they're simultaneously pursuing this knowledge, just like Adam and Eve pursued knowledge in the Garden of Eden, in order to become like God, while they're funding and promoting and pushing for technology that can make them live forever by literally cloning your body and then stealing your organs. It's in the articles. We have the documents. Everything playing out right now by the globalists is the exact sin depicted in the fall of man, coupled with the Tower of Babel, where they're trying to become gods. And the ultimate result of this is the wrath of God, the total destruction of humanity. And if we don't catch it soon, it's going to result in the total collapse of civilization as we know it. And it's not going to be the first time, folks. We've been walking this planet for 300,000 years at least, and every 10,000 years there's a massive ice age. This is like the 30th time we've gone this far. It's just like in the Matrix, where when he gets to the end of the Matrix and he talks to the center server room, he realizes that there have been thousands of different examples of him coming through as the one to save humanity from the Matrix, and he realizes that he's failed every time, but not this time. We have to say, not this time. We are not going to allow the Matrix to win this time. We are not going to allow the chosen among us to stand by or be defeated by this system. We are not going to allow the globalists to give humanity a bad name in the eyes of God so that his wrath is necessary to establish justice. We are not going to allow a great reset. We are not going to allow an existential crisis. We are not going to allow a mass extermination of humanity off the planet. We are pro-humanity. We will not sacrifice it to the false god of nature through things like the climate hoax. We will not sacrifice humanity to the greed of the globalists who want to subvert the dollar as the global reserve currency and establish their own currency so they can control everybody's money. We will not give up because we will fight back. We will go to the AlexJonesStore.com and get things like methylene blue or the collectible silver fundraiser coins or the awesome shirts. We will say to these globalists that we are not satisfied with our vote alone. We want a voice, and we will go to the AlexJonesStore.com and keep InfoWars on the air to show them hell. We've got a voice, and we're going to win.
Quite frankly, I didn't develop Optimal Human when Bigley came on as a big sponsor, and I told them the supplements I wanted from the companies I wanted, and they went out and did what I wanted. People love them, and they're incredible. The turmeric, the Shilajit, the IRC moss, all of it. But they'd had this out for years, and I thought, my green caps are great, and you know this other company I use is great because you know, green superfoods are amazing. And then I finally took it, and Harrison Smith took it, and I was like, my God. And by then, we've been selling it 4 or 5 months, and it was already a top seller. The problem is there's so many ingredients, and it's so hard to source, and it's so clean, high standards, that it's sold out most of the time. We finally got a decent shipment of it in, but we never offered it for subscription because we just couldn't keep it. When you subscribe at thealexshowstore.com, and then they keep it back for you so it never sells out. So go to thealexshowstore.com and get your Optimal Human and so many other incredible products today. Check out all the great Patriot apparel. Make your life more healthy and enriched, and help keep us on the air as we take on the deep state at point blank range and win. Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys to our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com.
Here's where all eyes now are on gold and silver. Because gold went over $3,000 an ounce, it's at an all-time high. That's a very strong technical and psychological threshold number, that 3,000. So now that the world is looking at gold, the world is also going to be looking at silver. So even the massive growth that we've already seen, I'm guessing it's just the beginning.
Gut level, where do you think gold is in a month?
3,100 in a month, like in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then I think it gets to 3,200 by the beginning of the summer. And we could literally see 4,000 as momentum starts to gather and as the eyes of the world get on it. And then silver, you know, probably 50 to 75.
People need to call you, do a free consultation, leave your name and number, 720-605-3900, kpm.com/gold. Do the form. They'll call you back. They'll do a free consultation. They can roll over your IRAs, 401ks. Do it now, folks. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much.
My pleasure. See ya.
It's good to be right, isn't it? Wow. Methylene blue is all the rage. But for my listeners, we've been talking about it for decades. But finally, they've got factories. They've got laboratories that are producing medical, pharmaceutical, USP grade. And so, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, has it right now, the very highest quality. And I've taken USP grade before, and they claim it's USP grade. It works great. Massive energy, clarity, focus, no letdown. This is 10 times better. I'm actually scared of this. So I've seen Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, take 3 droppers on Air Force One. I took half a dropper, and I'm bouncing off the walls hours later. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the very best methylene blue I've ever had at the lowest price, and it funds the InfoWar, a total 360 win. So get your ultra, and it is ultra, methylene blue right now at TheAlexJonesTour.com.
Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser. In 24 minutes and 14 seconds, The Alex Jones Show begins. 4 hours of insane coverage of all the breaking developments, all the analysis of what's really happening the world over, what's happening within this administration, this country, and throughout the rest of the world with the globalist attempt to take over. And I know that it's great that Trump won. I love Trump. I know that it's great that he's got his cabinet in. I love his cabinet. But the fact of the matter is, we've been sitting on our laurels. We've been sitting back and relaxing because we thought that all we had to do was get him elected on November 5th and everything else would take care of itself. But folks, that's like when a Viking ship elects a new great captain of the ship and that new captain takes over and then all the Vikings on the ship just refuse to row. All right, we got the captain we needed. Don't need to row anymore. No. We are the ones that propel this Trump administration. We are the ones that propel the MAGA movement. We are the ones that propel populism. We are the ones that are responsible for pushing back the globalist threat. So when we sit behind and we allow Democrats to win in Wisconsin, or when we sit behind and in a year and a half we allow Democrats to win the Senate or the House or whatever election's coming up, when we sit behind and we allow them to collapse the economy and successfully hijack the media and blame populism and then win in 2028 resulting in the total death of humanity, it's actually our fault. And don't get me wrong, there's the Dan Crenshaws and the Lindsey Grahams and the war hawks and the political class and the bureaucrats within the CIA and the FBI who are responsible for undermining the integrity of every institution and sabotaging the interests of every American for the sake of some globalist takeover. Yes, they're culpable, but we're the ones that put them into power. We're the ones that allowed this to happen by not paying attention. So it's time for us to wake up and fight on every single front, on every single policy issue, and get informed. For too long, the intelligence community has had a total monopoly over the minds not just of our people, but of the world. Even Putin himself said this to Tucker Carlson. When Tucker Carlson went to Moscow and interviewed Putin, he said, Western media is controlled by the United States of America everywhere outside of Russia and has been for many years, so I can't just take a story to the media. I can't rely on these institutions or these outlets to tell the truth because they're all mockingbird. They're all controlled by the CIA. And I know there's no VCIA. I know there's different factions within these institutions and small groups of siloed individuals within the organization are responsible for a disproportionate amount of the crime that the organization commits. I believe in Pareto's law, the Pareto principle. Pareto was a famous scientist who determined that 20% of the seeds in his pea garden resulted in 80% of the yield. And that principle has proven true across business principles and countless other examples. 20% of your products are usually 80% of your revenue. 20% of your clients cause you 80% of your problems. 20% of your employees do 80% of the work. This is a Pareto principle that's been around forever. And I understand that within institutions like the FBI, CIA, Deep State, it's 20% of the people responsible for 80% of the bad. And it's 20% of the people responsible for 80% of the good. So you can't really just blame the Jews or the CIA or the FBI. It's just not true. It's 20% of the people within these institutions responsible for 80% of the evil. And why is it that the other 80% don't hold them in check? Maybe they don't care. Maybe they're just comfortable. Maybe they're against conflict. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they're just dumb. I don't know. But we woke up enough to realize that all of the lies told about Donald Trump were just that, total lies. If any other president had been met with the amount of antagonism that Donald Trump was met with, that president would never have been elected by the American people. But for some reason, by some miracle, probably a combination of the debate that he did with Joe Biden on June 30th, with the assassination attempt in Butler on July 13th, coupled with all the other lies, but by some miraculous combination of factors, variables, events, information, details, we didn't buy the lies of people and we won because we paid attention. But we cannot sit back and allow this to happen again. Because if we do,
we'll see the agenda unfold. That agenda specifically to eradicate Western culture from the face of the planet, to replace all Western people with an international community, to eradicate the dollar as the global reserve currency and replace it with a central bank digital currency, to get us involved in as many wars as possible to ensure the eradication of a class of people, particularly in third world countries, who are deemed to be not of value to the global estate, so they can corral everyone else under the auspice of a new world order and become not just the puppet masters of the Trudeaus and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Carneys and the Starmers and the Macrons and the Zelenskys, but then the puppet masters of every individual on the planet. They're trying to convert you to globalism against your will and even against your knowledge. Trump freezes $27.5 million to Planned Parenthood for allegedly violating anti-DEI immigration orders. U.S. President Donald Trump is withholding millions in federal grants from Planned Parenthood for promoting DEI ideology and possibly violating civil rights laws. Obviously, diversity, equity, and inclusion is a violation of civil rights laws because the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits someone from being hired or fired simply because of their race, which is exactly what DEI aims to do, hiring and firing people simply because of their race. I mean, we had major airlines just years ago before they all started having their windows fly out and their doors fall off and their landing gear not descend properly and their planes just crash kind of inexplicably. We had these major airlines advocating for the fact that, hey, 75% of all of our pilots are going to be women by 2030 or whatever year they said it was. Clear violation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, but all in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Everyone just batted an eye and acted like it was all okay for us to have these kinds of policies. Crazy thing about it is, you went to a doctor in the 90s who was black, a surgeon who was black, you wouldn't think anything of it. You weren't racist. Must be a great surgeon, like Ben Carson. Now you see some minority surgeon, you're like, oh, was this person hired because they were great or because of diversity, equity, and inclusion? These institutions and programs actually cause the problem that they claim to solve. We got the welfare through the food stamps causing obesity, which is a greater problem than starvation. I mean, even Benjamin Franklin back in the 18th century, folks, said he'd never seen anyone die from eating too little, but he'd seen plenty of people die from eating too much. It was a problem back then. He was fat. All of these government programs cause the problem. CIA says it wants to fight for national security, and then it becomes itself the greatest national security threat. It's like a motif of government the world over. Meanwhile, transgender ACLU lawyer claims there are no men impersonating women in women's sports. This is clip number two we're going to run in a second. A transgender ACLU attorney has raised eyebrows for making the false claim that there are no examples of men impersonating women that I'm aware of in women's athletics, despite scores of examples to the contrary. Let's watch.
The policies that are claiming that transgender women in sports are men are wrong. The president is lying when he says that there are men impersonating women and participating in women's sports. There are no examples of men impersonating women that I am aware of. And it is incorrect to refer to transgender women and girls as men and boys. And what these executive orders do, what these laws do, is open the door to sex-based police.
I don't even know what to say. What was that clip of that guy that went viral on like CNN months and months ago? Do you remember? Unbelievable. I guess they're saying that since trans women are women, then there's no examples of men in women's sports. It's like semantics that he's trying to play. But that's like totally besides the point. I mean, if you've got an X and Y chromosome, you can put somebody in a coma in a boxing match if that's a woman. We saw this happen in the Olympics this year. Of course, the details were disputed, but how many examples do we have to tell you?
It's like there's no sugar in soda. It's corn syrup.
There's hardly any men in men's sports. Our testosterone levels are like 300 when they're supposed to be 800. Our sperm counts are astronomically low. I mean, there's hardly even any men in Western civilization anymore at all. There's examples of people that are manly and masculine and masculine sentiment, but it's been utterly shut down and attacked for decades and decades and decades. And ultimately, it also goes back to inflation. Because when a man cannot provide for a family of four on a single income, that means that women have to work. And back then, that was kind of shameful. If your wife has to work, that means that you were failing as a man. And in order to deal with that shame, there was a whole campaign to justify feminism, saying that feminism was bravery and breaking out of the patriarchy, when really what feminism was a massive psychological justification for the fact that women had to work in order to help the man provide for a family because inflation was so bad. So as a result of that, we have the masculization of women and we have the emasculation of men. And now we've arrived at this place where you got Harry Sisson instead of Paul Newman, where you've just got this weakness and this feminist mentality. Instead of, I mean, have you guys ever seen clips of Leonardo DiCaprio when he was a kid on set on Disney for Boy Meets World with that director or that producer that got busted for actually having inappropriate sexual relationships on Nickelodeon? I can't remember the guy's name. But if you look at a young Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm not talking about the one that you see in the movies in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or in Inception, but if you look at a young behind-the-scenes Leonardo DiCaprio interacting with this man who looks like the subway guy. Yeah. Look at this. Obviously, something very sexually inappropriate going on here. He's putting his hands on his chest and playing with the buttons on his shirt. They're all handsy and touchy and feeling. This guy got busted later for having inappropriate relationships. I mean, this is the emasculation of entire generations. Look at this. I don't touch a guy like that. I don't touch my friends or my brothers or my mentors or my parents or any adult man like that. This is the culture that they're trying to catalyze. They want these weak Snow Whites who have a dream and are somehow the hero of reality because of what they accomplished in their dream state. As if your truth is your truth. As if everything is subjective. As if you can live the entire plot of a movie in a fantasy dream and somehow it has natural ramifications in the real world. You realize that they're trying to eradicate the principle of objective truth from the minds of all people, so they can install a subjective lie. There's no room for a lie in the presence of truth. So they have to delete the truth first, then they install the lie, and different lies, and they're even conflicting lies, and they just allow for the cognitive dissonance because of the peer pressure, and then they just mess with your hormones and your body and your values, and then they allow you to clone bodies, and then they rip the organs out of the bodies, just like they were doing with babies at Planned Parenthood, and they're replacing the organs of the elite with the organs of the base ground level folk. And they're sacrificing generation after generation of people with all the chemicals that they're putting in the air, the food and the water, so that our sperm counts and our testosterone counts are low, so they can just slowly eradicate people from the planet in some sacrifice ritual to the god of nature. I mean, we have reverted back to the most primitive base intuitions of our species. I mean, you understand that 10,000 years ago, people worship two things. They worship their ancestors and they worship nature because their ancestors are what got them here and nature was the greatest threat. Now we're 10,000 years later. We're 150 years after the death of God in the Nietzschean sense. We've gone through fascism. We've gone through Marxism. And all of our wisest, most intelligent leaders are now worshiping their ancestors and nature again. Their ancestors through identity politics and nature through the climate hoax. I mean, we have gone back to like pre-Great Flood, false idol worship, pre-Tower of Babel, false sense of self-godlessness, pre-fall of man, where we're frantically trying to get knowledge and live forever and be more like God, even though we've been demanding not to. I'm not talking about just general knowledge. I mean, they're trying to find the knowledge to overcome the sentence of the fall of man. Whether you believe it literally or figuratively, I mean, there is something very profoundly capital T true going on right here, where all of our leaders and all of our cultures are literally the antithesis of everything that God has ever done, both in creation and in command. That's why it's satanic. You don't have to have a pentagram on the floor and a bunch of candles fired up and a weird mask and some bizarre ritual like Eyes Wide Shut in order to be satanic. You can be satanic just by living your life as an adversary to God or God's plan. And we're celebrating these Hollywood stars who have sacrificed their own genders, sacrificed their own sexuality, sacrificed their own identity, trying to prop up the technocrats who want to live forever, all while sacrificing babies for the sake of the god of nature, which is a false god, so that we can have some beautiful green planet like a Garden of Eden without anybody allowed to go into it because we'll all be dead. People say, oh, well, I only read the New Testament because the Old Testament is the Old Testament. When God came, you know, a lot of things changed. Well, God said, Jesus said, did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And everything that plays out in the Old Testament is playing out right now. And we understand, if we study it, that every time stuff like this happens, there are massive casualties. People think, oh, that's wrath of God. No, it's not wrath of God. It's the nature of the universe. It holds us accountable naturally because of our actions. And it's all up to us whether it happens or not. So it's not even the wrath or will of God. It just must play out the way that it does based on the ramifications of our actions, thoughts, and deeds. So, look, I don't want to get distracted with miscellaneous stories of transgenderism or miscellaneous stories of Planned Parenthood, but these stories are indicative of a serious problem. These stories are not the cause of our problems. They're the symptoms of our fundamental problem. Our fundamental problem is that we killed God. We replaced him with a false idol of worshiping nature through the climate hoax, worshiping our ancestors through identity politics. And we ourselves are trying to become gods in direct defiance of God's basically first covenant with man, saying that you'll work by the sweat of your brow, you'll die, and childbirth will be painful. I mean, they're even trying to replace the pain of childbirth, where every man by 2050 could potentially be infertile in the world, and the only way that we can produce another generation is by Brave New World-esque test tube babies. So they even defied the punishment. And with artificial intelligence, they're going to try to replace all the labor force. So we're not going to be working by this whatever brow like God said. We're not going to be having painful childbirth like God commanded. Some of us may actually live forever because of the technology, even though death was the commanded penalty. I mean, this is all exactly the inverse of the very first story of the Bible with the very first appearance of Satan in the Bible. That's why it is satanic. And like I said, you don't have to believe these stories of the Bible are literally historically true to understand that they're capital T true. They're at least metaphorically true. And I think the metaphorical truth of them is more important because it's the one that has real world ramifications. It's not just something that happened a long time ago, never going to happen again. If it's metaphorically true, that means that it always happens like a pattern as a result of the same actions or decisions of humanity. You understand? And we're sitting here watching all of our civilizations, all of our leaders commit the very sins which we know deeply in our unconscious, our subconscious, and our zeitgeist, which we deeply know will result in the death of millions upon millions of people, but our people are being sedated by pharmaceutical drugs and by entertainment, by bread and circuses, to be desensitized and to not even care if these decisions, cultural movements, will result in the genocide of billions upon billions of people. In fact, some people would say that's a great thing because it's going to save the environment, which we worship above humanity. I don't even know why anybody would sign up for this. I understand not everyone has a nuanced understanding of the Bible or theology or spends a lot of time thinking about God. I understand that not everyone's read Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith or the Constitution even or the Bill of Rights even. I understand that there's a large swath of our population who doesn't even know who the vice president is. We've seen that with Man on the Street videos time and time again, the level of ignorance, especially on college campuses. But what really irks me, what really shakes me, is that these same people living in their ignorance, have somehow developed the capacity to deny what their intuition must be telling them. That something is deeply wrong. Your conscience or God or whatever it is that whispers to you from your gut and says and sends off an alarm. And I think really what it is it's the anti-anxiety drugs. Because these anxiety disorders are so exaggerated. You're supposed to experience and feel anxiety because anxiety tells you what you need to do. If you're anxious about the fact that you're late filing your taxes, it's because your anxiety is telling you to take care of that problem because it's going to be a bigger problem for you down the road. If you're anxious about the fact that you're being followed by a stranger, it's supposed to keep you alert so you're not attacked. Your anxiety is something that is helpful to you, not something that's just uncomfortable or inconvenient to you. You're supposed to be anxious. But we have sedated through marijuana, through anti-anxiety medication. We have sedated entire generations of our people to shut off the voice of God warning them about our own cultural transgressions. I mean, they are just happily sitting there flipping through TikTok or Instagram or other social media or Netflix. medicating themselves so they are deaf to the voice of God that is their intuition. We're being attacked on all fronts. I mean, that's what's so overwhelming. There's no one solution to complicated problems. We're being attacked with the environmental claims. We're being attacked with the cultural onslaught and replacement theory. We're being attacked militaristically. We're being attacked economically. We're being attacked psychologically. Healthcare is making us sick instead of making us better. The psychiatrists are making us crazy instead of making us sane. Law enforcement is making itself criminal instead of fighting crime. The judicial system is establishing injustice instead of justice. Federal Reserve is creating poverty instead of wealth. The leaders are following each other instead of leading the people, and the people are failing to hold the leaders accountable. Every single front. And how can you solve every problem at once? Every one of these complicated problems requires years of solutions, correct solutions in the right order at the right time, like disarming a bomb and having to clip the right wires at the right time, otherwise it'll explode. That's what's happening to Western civilization right now. We're looking on the inside of a giant bomb inside Western civilization. It's about ready to go off. And if we don't clip every wire at the right time in the right order, then this bomb is going to go off and we're never going to have Western civilization again. A repeat of history. Every 10,000 years, every 12,000 years, some major extinction event takes place. Humanity starts over from ground one. But we're not going to let it happen this time, at least not without a fight. Why we need you to go to thealexjonestour.com. It's why we need you to share the Alex Jones broadcast. He's going to be live in 6 minutes, far and wide, with friends and foes alike, with family. Spread the word. Go to thealexjonestour.com. We've got methylene blue in stock. This is the most amazing product that we've ever released, both in terms of its efficacy and in terms of the demand that we've seen. This stuff is flying off the shelves. We have a great supplier, one of the most reputable manufacturers on the planet. It's not the imported Chinese stuff with all the toxins or bad stuff. I mean, this is USP grade ultra methylene blue taken by RFK Jr., not this exact brand, but this substance taken by RFK Jr. And the things it does for you in terms of empowering your mitochondria, which are the energy source of your cells. In terms of focus and clarity, I've never experienced anything like it. Within 15 minutes of taking this, you will feel like you have been plugged into the wall. You will understand. I mix it with a little bit of water so that I can drink it without my mouth turning blue, because it will turn your mouth blue. But this is the only ultra methylene blue product. This is the only methylene blue product that I've ever seen that actually has a flavor in it. This is fresh mint flavor, or it's a vanilla mint natural flavor. So it's palpable. You can actually enjoy tasting it instead of feeling like there's some battery going in, but it does operate like a battery. I mean, within 15 minutes, you're going to notice a difference in your state of mind, your ability to get things done, your ability to reach self-actualization. Of all the products that we've ever sold, I use and believe in Ultra Methylene Blue the most. So please go to thealexjonestore.com and check out Methylene Blue. If you subscribe, you can cancel anytime. It's the only way to get it for 50% off. That's what we recommend. And if we're ever out of stock, our subscribers are guaranteed to get their shipment. So the best way to sign up is not to get the 3-pack or the 2-pack or just buy one bottle. Just subscribe. If you don't like it, cancel your subscription. But you're going to like it because it makes you feel like you're plugged into an AC outlet. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. But don't just go and get methylene blue at thealexjonestore.com because you want to experience the amazing benefits of it empowering your mitochondria or sharpening your focus or giving you energy or just allowing your blood to absorb oxygen. That's one of the alleged side effects of this as well. It helps your body absorb the oxygen that you breathe in, which is your life and consciousness itself. Don't just get methylene blue because it's amazing and it's a great price and it's the best type of methylene blue that you can get on the market in the United States, in my opinion. Get it because by supporting the AlexJonesStore.com, you're keeping Alex Jones on the air, you're keeping Owen Schroyer on the air, you're keeping Harrison Smith on the air, you're keeping this crew operating behind the scenes to fight for freedom of speech, freedom of humanity, and the lives and existence of humanity itself. So please go to thealexjonestore.com right now, get your bottle of methylene blue, and be the reason the truth will always be on the air, broadcast the world over. Stay tuned for Alex Jones on the other side of this short break.
The eighth coin
in the limited edition series is now exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the eighth in the series. Your past purchases have kept us on the air. There's only 4,000 of this coin. I designed all the others, but the crew said, hey, people keep asking for an Alex Jones coin. This is the first and probably the only one we'll ever do. InfoWars on the back. Myself, the American flag on the front with my signature. It is vital to keep us on the air. Plus, it's an amazing coin. All the other in the last seven, the last few years we put out. You look at them online, they're selling for way more than we printed them up. But I'm not even pushing it as a collectible coin. It is a fundraiser to keep us on the air. We absolutely need the funds. It is historic, and it costs us about $40 for each coin for the silver and for having it printed or minted in Missouri. And you can get it for $99 if you're not a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com, or $70-something if you are. People love the coins. It keeps us on air. It's a fundraiser. America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now. And that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support, spread the word. And it's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.